Although, of course, I imagine they might be very good at getting on the front page of the papers, but when they want to get off it, they don't have someone to help them to do that now. Caroline Floss, always a pleasure. Entertainment reporter, thank you very much. Just to get you up to date, there are reports coming out of New York that there has been an explosion at the Port Authority in New York City in Manhattan, and the New York Fire Department is responding to reports of that explosion. We'll keep you up to date on that throughout the afternoon. First up, John Holmes is here. What's Indeed. Happening on your show?
Well, you're absolutely right. We'll keep you up to date on that, as that's only just happened. More information as we get it throughout the afternoon. Of course, it's snowing again. I don't know if you've noticed that
I've got my walking boots and my ski jacket with me.
Snow. So let it snow. So we'll be going outside for a live report in the snow, because that's what the media does at this time of year.
Have you just made sure snow. That no one in your team has got sensible shoes on? You're going to send them out flip-flops, outside. Aren't
yeah,
you?
Possibly.
It's the only language they
possibly
understand.
Nudie.
No one wants to see any of that.
No, you're absolutely right.
Really? So now they're looking upset at me. I don't want to see you guys naked. Yeah. Is it all right? I don't think the public do.
Yeah, no one.
They're all very upset.
Yeah. So councils are crap at recycling, obviously. So that's a thing, isn't it? And we will be talking ghosts and whether or not they're real or not, all that.
And whether or not we should send them out in the snow naked. It's all going to be linked in. As I say, the latest on that new report from New York as that story emerges. John Holmes here from 1 till 4. Do stay tuned. Try and keep safe. Don't forget travel updates throughout the day, throughout the evening to keep you moving. Hopefully, safely. Look after yourselves and stay warm. This is Talk Radio.
Talk Radio. Digital debate for the UK.
Pick up your phone and Talk Radio.
We'll get you talking.
It's time. Time to join the millions of people that meet happy with Zoom video conferencing. With stunning HD video, crisp audio, and instant wireless sharing across any mobile, tablet, or desktop device. But the best thing about Zoom? It just works. So ditch the distractions, join the movement, and meet happy with Zoom video conferencing. Visit zoom.us to set up your free account today. That's zoom.us. Zoom video conferencing.
As a business owner, you can't waste money on anything, particularly hiring. That's why we built Indeed.com differently. No upfront fees, no long-term contracts, so you can start, pause, and stop at any time. Post your next job on Indeed, the UK's number one job site. For a limited time, we're giving new users a £50 credit to post a sponsored job. Claim your £50 credit at Indeed.com/redeem. That's Indeed.com/redeem. Terms, conditions and quality standards apply. The UK's number one job site, according to Comscore.
Book launches are often hyped. Then you open the first page and... But David Icke's new book, Everything You Need to Know But Have Never Been Told, really will astonish you. Thought-provoking and controversial. It's available now, so read a real page-turner. Everything You Need to Know But Have Never Been Told by former footballer and presenter David Icke. Available exclusively at davidicke.com.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
We are Talk.
Talk Radio. Give it some lip.
Talk Radio.
At 1 o'clock. Good afternoon, I'm John Holmes. You are listening to Talk Radio. Toby's here with the very latest news and more on that explosion in New York.
Thank you. Coming up, Grenfell Inquiry sets out plans, Leicestershire gas explosion, and snow grinds UK to a halt again.
Talk Radio.
The breaking news, though, coming out of New York. The New York City Police Department has said it is responding to reports of an explosion. They're saying of unknown origin. This is at 42nd Street and 8th Avenue. So that is in Manhattan. We don't have many more details than that at the moment. It is 8 a.m. in New York right now. We will bring you, of course, any details of that as we get them. As an inquiry into the Grenfell Tower fire begins, it's been told its aim is to ensure lives are saved from similar incidents in future. It'll hear from survivors and bereaved families and discuss things like timeframes and which evidence to prioritise. 71 people died when the West London Tower block caught fire in June. 2 days of procedural hearings are being held to look at matters including timeframes. Leading counsel to the inquiry, Richard Millett QC, says the process mustn't take too long.
The fire at Grenfell Tower, Mr. Chairman, has provoked widespread public concerns about fire safety in tower blocks, both in Britain and internationally. And those concerns must be addressed urgently.
Three people are being treated in hospital following a gas explosion near Leicester. One house and several other buildings were damaged when it happened in Birstall this morning. People living nearby say they heard a huge bang which shook their doors and windows. Thousands of children are enjoying a day off school as snow and wintry weather leaves millions of us affected. Thousands of homes are still without power, while road conditions are described as treacherous, and air passengers have been left waiting for hours for their flights to be rescheduled. Chillingham Barnes in Northumberland was the coldest place in England last night, with lows of minus 12. Amy Plasto lives there and told Talk Radio they're grinning and bearing it.
We've managed to do everything we normally would on a daily basis. We've just done it a little bit slower and put an extra coat in the car, really, just in case you do get stopped.
A French firm called Lactalis that makes baby milk has recalled millions of products over fears of salmonella contamination. 26 infants have become sick in France since the start of the month. It does affect exports to the UK, which receives its Millumel, Pico and Sealy brands. And the average price of a used car in the UK has apparently fallen for the first time in 8 months. It dropped by £50 in November to nearly £12,590. Diesel vehicles were hit hardest as the average price was down by £143 between October and last month.
Where was the coldest place?
Oh, it was Chillingham Barnes in Northumberland.
Chillingham.
Chillingham, yes.
Not Gillingham.
No, Chillingham Barnes, yes. And it was the chilliest.
Sort of satisfying when that happens, isn't it?
It really is a wonderful bit of serendipity.
How are you, Toby?
I'm well, yeah,
thank you. What's wrong with your leg?
I tore the ligaments in my ankle on Friday night and spent the evening in A&E. Friday night in A&E is always a thrill.
You hobbled in here, and I didn't see you in the office.
Yeah.
And you're, and I was like, oh, okay. Because you're wearing a plastic boot.
Like a booty thing.
But my daughter, who is 7, has one the same as that.
Oh, really? She's got big feet then.
Not the same size, the same design. And she, because it's all Velcro, isn't it? And you have to tighten, strap it all up. Yeah. Now, she broke her leg in two places.
Okay.
So she's harder than you.
Perhaps she can give me some advice, because I've struggled to get, I had to wear normal shoes to get in today because it was so wet, and this is an open boot.
You can walk in that boot. She's been out
in that boot. I know, but it's an open boot, and you've just got your socks showing. I'm going to get very cold toes.
Put a bag on it.
Oh, that's a clever idea.
So you put your foot in a plastic bag.
Yeah.
Right? Then, in your sock, obviously. Put your foot in a plastic bag, and then
You're like a proper Muppet, don't you?
Well, yeah, but at the end of the day, you're walking easier.
Yeah. No, I was in pain when I came in normal shoe.
Yeah, you would be.
My foot
How did you tear a ligament? What were you doing?
I was walking home from the supermarket, completely sober, totally, you know, innocuous, and I went over, you know where the pavement becomes a little bit of soil, where they plant trees in the pavement?
I'm aware
went
of such an area.
Over the edge of that.
Yeah.
Bent the ankle.
Yeah.
Heard it tear.
Nice.
Yeah.
Then went to A&E. How long were you in A&E for? What's the state of our NHS?
Four hours, but they were brilliant.
That's pretty good, actually, isn't it?
They were absolutely brilliant.
4 hours. It's good for Friday night.
Yeah. There was a moment when I got in there that there was a man who'd been brought in by police. And I thought, they're gonna push in front of me. That's an extra 20 minutes. But I barged my way in front.
Quite right, too.
I thought, if he's with the police, then I deserve to, you know, my innocent accident deserves me to get in front.
All right. Well, more on the update of Toby's leg injury as the afternoon wears on. And, of course, as he says, we will be keeping you.
Can I run myself in animal news?
Yes, if we get
I'm sort of an animal.
If we get to it.
I behaved like an animal. I wailed like one.
I don't want to know about that. Right, it's weather. We've got to do your weather now. Here comes
Talk
some weather.
Radio National Weather.
Wintry showers in the northwest, otherwise fairly clear for most, with sleety rain coming to the south. Top temperatures ranging from 0 to 6 Celsius in the west.
The very latest coming out, by the way, because the news is breaking all the time, is that a suspect is in custody for this incident in New York, and there are some injuries, and some kind of bomb was involved. That's the latest news that's just breaking, by the way, as we start the programme.
Okay, so shall I just not do news anymore? You're just doing
it. I'll just do it as it breaks, Toby. That's what we're here for.
Okay, great.
You know, but you get to provide the details.
Okay. That's well, you've just provided that. Well, I mean, I didn't have any
news,
and you've given them.
I had them before
you. It's the other way around.
I had them before you.
It's your sources.
Just deal with it.
John's sources.
My sources dealt with me, Ben. But you didn't get any sources.
No.
Anyway, but the sport doesn't stop. Who's doing the sport today? It's not you.
Oh, well, Andrew is, but I think that this might still be Ben Fletcher, but I'm not 100% sure.
Right, so it could be Andrew or Ben. We don't know.
It's Andrew or Ben,
Here's Andrew or Ben with the pre-recorded sport.
Talk Radio Sports Update.
With Selco Builders Warehouse. Thousands of trade products to click and collect online. Selco's got it.
Selco, it's where the trade goes. I'm Ben Fletcher. Good afternoon. Chelsea will play Barcelona in the last 16 of the Champions League, the only English club to play at home first. Tottenham have been drawn with Juventus. Manchester City will face Basel. Liverpool are paired with Porto, while Manchester United have Sevilla. The standout tie of the round sees Real Madrid take on PSG. In the Europa League, Celtic take on Zenit St. Petersburg, while Arsenal face Swedish side Östersund in the last 32. Arsene Wenger says Olivier Giroud will get opportunities to start matches after the Frenchman's equaliser against Southampton at the weekend. Giroud has made 13 substitute appearances in the Premier League this season, but he's yet to start for the Gunners. There's one game tonight. Second place Cardiff can narrow the gap on Championship leaders Wolves to just 2 points with a win at Reading. The whole thing's live over on TalkSport 2. Finally, snooker. Ronnie O'Sullivan's now a six-time winner of the UK Championship.
Yep.
He beat Sean Murphy 10-5 in the final.
Yeah, Ben.
That's the latest sports news powered by TalkSport.
Powered by Ben, it turns out. So he'll have gone home now, so I imagine it'll be Andrew in the next
bulletin. Andrew next.
And there we go. Right, Talk Radio, Monday afternoon. Let's do this thing.
Talk Radio.
What's that racket, Johnny?
I'm making the sofa bigger so everyone gets a seat this Christmas.
Huh?
Well, me and Dad have been dying to see Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. And Granny's super excited to see Disney's Beauty and the Beast.
Great, and then we can all watch It's a Wonderful Life together.
No matter how full your sofa is this Christmas, with a Now TV Sky Cinema Pass, you can stream over 1,000 movies, all without a contract. To start your 14-day free trial, search Now TV today. 18 plus UK only. Pass auto renews at £9.99 unless cancelled.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Call straight to air for the last 15 minutes of the week, and then Talk Radio shuts down and it doesn't start again until Monday at 1 o'clock when John Holmes comes on.
Previously on the John Holmes Show.
So good afternoon to you. You're listening to Ray Stubbs' Christmas speech chart show. Our Father who art in heaven,
thy kingdom come.
And I just got
this little boy who is facing all of these like different struggles.
In 1978,
that's when it was released.
Yeah.
There's been a huge change in the way people tend to go to work now,
which is what you have to do with babies, so it sort of makes sense. Cornelius!
You will now be paid for and brought up by the company that they work for.
To raise the share prices. Okay, well, that's a recommendation for us to ignore.
Cha-cha!
I mean, well, actually, first of all,
but he probably used to say that at school, like we did.
The massive oversized mug.
And you open the door and you step inside. We're inside our hearts.
This is your life. Good to the last drop. Doesn't get any better than this.
John Holmes.
The radio is one of the outstanding developments of the 20th century.
Radio.
This isn't a seminar. This isn't a weekend retreat. Nothing is static. Everything is a
ball. Who are you?
John Holmes.
John Holmes.
With no power comes no responsibility.
There.
So another Monday afternoon then. Another Monday afternoon that feels like a wet Monday afternoon, largely because it is one. Or a snowy and icy one, depending on where you are in the country. I can tell you something, though. It's made all the papers very excited, hasn't it? Very excited, the papers, as they get to publish their annual line of cars on a motorway pictures, alongside their stock-in-trade, people-out-tobogganing collection. It's Talk Radio in the afternoons for the time being. I am John Holmes. And as Max Clifford gives a final shout of, I'm a celebrity publicist, get me out of here. Referring in this instance to the mortal plane of existence rather than the jail he was in for all those sex offences. We welcome you to the jungle of between 1 and 4 o'clock on a radio station whose entire marketing strategy is having Ian Lee mention it once last night while chatting to Ant and Dec. And that wasn't even the station's idea or doing, that was just Ian on his own. Next, I don't know, it's like we're going to have to bring in our own equipment and mixing desk or something to make the show run technically. Oh, no, wait. Hey, and it's the Talk Radio Christmas party tonight. How much do you want to bet that it's in a brewery, but when we get there, they'll have forgotten to order the booze? Hashtag this place. Anyway, hello and welcome. And yes, so as Max Clifford shuffles off to sit at the paw of the ghost of that dead hamster he claimed that Freddie Starr once ate, let us also spare a thought today for Chris Rea. The driving home for Christmas singer, he collapsed on stage at the weekend. To paraphrase one of his other songs, let's hope this ain't no cardiological breakdown and that this is the road to hell. Health. Health. The good news is, though, and I've been reading about Chris Rea this morning, despite that collapse, he's okay. Reports are that he's stable. Chris Rea, stable. See, Christmassy, whatever the circumstances. Get well, Chris Rea. Not you, Max Clifford. You were unpleasant. You can stay dead. So then, come on, let's make like Josh Om from Queens of the Stone Age with that photographer and kick your Monday afternoon in the face. Five. Here's what's coming up on it. Headline Hijack is on the way. Your chance to make up a news story, invent the news, and hear it said as truth in the bulletin at 2 o'clock. That's how it works. You could get your just a couple of sentences, a paragraph, into the mouth of Toby. He will say the news. You'll believe him because, you know, it'll be the news. Except it could well be a lie and it could well be yours. Here's how to get in touch. Treble 2.
Start your message with the word talk.
At Talk Radio on Twitter.
Start your message with any word you like.
Any word you like. There is today's diversity paper review. Who's doing it today? Who's doing it today? Who's doing it today?
Sam.
Great. Sam's in today. And Sam is Jewish.
That's right.
And we'll be going through the papers. It makes us the most diverse programme in all of broadcasting, doing a paper review with different diversities each and every day. We'll be going outside to find out what the weather is doing where you are, providing the where you are is on the steps of this building outside 18 Hatfields, London, just behind the Oxo Tower. If that's as far as our weather reporter can be asked to go, if I'm honest. Anyway, standard media stuff, isn't it? Send reporter to stand outside to report on the current weather conditions. We'll be joining in. Work experience punditry. Today we'll be looking at television, reviewing television. There's the big debate at 3. Drunk people were canvassed over the weekend for their take on the week's news as they fell out of pubs and clubs and bars. It is something we call Alco Vox Pops. That's on the way today. We have guest action for you. The writer and broadcaster Danny Robbins will be in. He's been doing this podcast where explaining modern ghost sightings, which has gone top 10 in the iTunes chart. Loads of good reviews in proper paper. So he's coming in to talk about that. And I'm frankly interested in all things ghost hunting, so that's why. Plus, of course, today we'll be playing a game. In the last half an hour of the programme. Of this, Norwegian death metal band or Eskimo word for snow. I'm not sure you can even say Eskimo anymore. That might be one of those words you can't say. Inuit word for snow. Or Norwegian black death metal band. Which is it? Do you want to play? Would you like to play against Cornelius? Here's the number. 87222.
Same as with the top.
That's already on
Twitter. Same as with it.
Alright, you can call us as well. 0344 499 1000. You can start that message with hello Chloe, because it's probably going to be her that answers the telephone. So let's find out what's working on the show today, shall we? Chloe is working on the show today. Hi, Chloe.
Hi.
Hi there. Producing today, Chloe.
What?
Producing today.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pressing buttons as well.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. Dave's here as well for some reason.
All right.
Oh, I don't know why. Presumably because it's the Talk Radio party tonight, so that's the only reason he's hanging around. Like a ginger smell. Yeah, hi, Cornelius.
Hello.
Hi there.
Hello.
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 Have you researched your days?
No, too busy.
Okay, fine. It always tells us what international day it is, Dave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's Monday, isn't it?
Well, yeah, but, you know, Google it.
Googling it, alright.
What day is it?
International days? What date is it today? 11th of December.
Yeah. I mean, this could be slicker.
Yeah, well, yeah, absolutely, sure.
It's International Mountain Day, John.
Thank you very much. And Britain has a new high mountain, of course, as of today, in Antarctica, I think. Is that where it is, Antarctica? Or
yeah,
Antarctica. Antarctica. In British territory, so there we go. It all ties in. So then, programme to bring you in all that. Welcome along, I'm John Holmes, hello, and of course, we're going to start, as you'd expect. What are we doing for the big story, Dave? Are we doing the breaking news? I mean, okay, fine. Just checking what we're going to do. Okay, so here's what's happening in the world, right? So there's been an explosion in New York. Now, we are still getting details of it. The US media are saying there have been some injuries. No deaths reported. There is a suspect in custody. That is all we know. That's it. So as this develops, we will, of course, be bringing it to you and at least letting you know what's going on. So far, the New York City Police Department says it is responding to reports of an explosion of unknown origin on 42nd Street and 8th Avenue. That is in Manhattan in New York. We will, of course, be bringing you the details as we go. However, there is more in the news that is happening. And I want you to see if you can figure out today's big story that we're going to be covering in quite some detail from today's papers from this.
Green plastic watering can for a fake Chinese rubber plant and a fake plastic girl. What you bought from a
Radiohead and Fake Plastic Trees. You are hearing it on Talk Radio in the afternoons. And of course, it gets us neatly into today's big story. That's how we start the show, with a song, with some music. You can play along at home or in the office, at work, wherever you may be, to figure out the clues as to how it gets us into the main story of the day that we're going to be talking about next. Dave, you've been having a crack at it, I understand.
Got it. Easy.
Yeah, go on then.
Okay, so Fake Plastic Trees.
Fake Plastic Trees by Radiohead.
By Radiohead. Lead singer of Radiohead.
Yeah.
Thom Yorke.
Thom Yorke.
York, of course, also a city.
Correct.
Famous for its minster.
It's got a minster.
Grand Old Duke.
Grand Old Duke and a train museum.
chain museum as well, yep. But let's go back to the Grand Old Duke. Fine. Just for the purposes of this, yes. Because that's what I've got.
Yep.
Who's the Duke of York at the moment?
Prince Andrew.
Who was previously married to Sarah Ferguson, who's one of the three famous Fergies in the world.
Black Eyed Peas.
Yeah, and Sir Alex.
Football. Yeah.
Yeah, so Black Eyed Peas, Fergie, one of four members of the Black Eyed Peas, of course, yep. Alongside...
Will.i.am.
Yeah.
Don't know the others.
Come on, the other two, really obvious. Taboo, obviously.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And then Apple D Up.
That's him.
Number four.
Yeah.
I mean, what don't we know about
Apple? If it
Apple?
Is a him, I don't know.
What else? What don't we know about Apple D Up? I'll tell you what he is. He's Filipino.
Right.
And he presents Top Gear in the Philippines.
Does he?
As well as being in the Black Eyed Peas.
Wow.
So he's basically the Matt LeBlanc of the Philippines.
Yeah, good.
Matt LeBlanc, of course, previously played Joey.
Joey.
In Friends. Yeah. Joey is a baby
kangaroo.
And a kangaroo is obviously a species endemic to Australia. Which brings us to today's big story, because last night in the Australian jungle, Talk Radio's very own Ian Lee came third.
That's right.
In I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out,
out of here. There we go. And also trees, because...
And trees, yeah, sure. Yeah.
And Ian's on the radio, Radiohead.
The Radiohead, Ian's got ahead.
Yeah. No, it's none of those things. It's because the big story today on the front of a lot of the papers is that councils, mm-hmm. including yours, probably including mine, mm-hmm. Even though we spend our time putting the things in the right recycling bins, mm. councils don't give a toss. They're just chucking most of it in the landfill. 27% of councils won't touch plastic anyway. One council doesn't touch... plastic bags, even. You won't pick up a plastic bag, even though that's what bin liners are made of. Mm. So there's a big scandal about it. It also comes at the same time that there's plastic in the oceans, as we know from David Attenborough. Mm. So what's got with councils, plastic, recycling? They should be, they're not. Why are we bothering? All of that stuff on the front of the papers today. Yeah. So we're going to solve that particular problem. Next on Talk Radio in the afternoons.
Talk Radio. Intelligent, organic entertainment.
Talk Radio.
We'll get you talking.
Hello, I'm Ian McKellen. I want you to join me in supporting Crisis this Christmas. Times are tough. While we are safe and warm inside, thousands of homeless people will be sleeping on the freezing streets. For just £26 at 8p, you can reserve a place for someone at Crisis at Christmas. You'll give them food, clothes and safety, and the chance to move off the streets for good. So please go to crisis.org.uk and give £26 and 8p to bring someone in from the cold. Thank you.
I am not based in an office. I am based in the fields.
Jen runs the Split Screen Coffee Company.
The ability to access Sage from different places is essential for my business.
See how your business could benefit from Sage Business Cloud with a free 30-day trial of Sage Accounting. Realise your business ambition. Visit sage.co.uk/free trial. Sage Business Cloud, helping you manage everything from money to people. Be Sage. Build on.
At Morrison's, selected 1 litre bottles of spirits are £15 each. Choose from Smirnoff, Famous Grouse, Gordon's, Bacardi, and many more. Christmas. Morrison's makes it.
Majority of stores while stocks last. Max 3, ends 17th of December. Excludes online. Please drink responsibly.
You can say anything to a mate. Anything. Call them every name under the sun. Wind them up. Bring them down a peg. Tell them stuff you never thought you'd tell anyone. Because they're proper mates. Like brothers. When it's a mate, you say what you feel like saying. Except, I love you, man. And I'm not going to let you drink drive. Stupid, innit? Mates don't let mates drink drive. Think.
Talk Radio, traffic and travel.
A couple of problems on the M25 anti-clockwise. In Essex, it's queuing between junction 28 for the Brook Street roundabout and 26 for Waltham Abbey because of emergency repairs, and two of the four lanes are closed. And in Kent, it's struggling on the approach to the Dartford Tunnel after emergency repairs earlier. In Berkshire, on the M4, it's very slow eastbound between junction 6 for Slough and junction 5 for Langley, also because of emergency repairs. And in South Yorkshire, on the M1, it's heavy southbound between junction 33 for Catliff and 32 for Thurcroft after a car broke down earlier. I'm Katie Tyler.
Only another 204 presents to go.
Long night ahead. 100 gram packs of Nescafe Azera coffee are now half price at the Co-op. Only £2.99. Christmas is coming together at the Co-op. Was £5.99, subject to availability. See participating stores for details. Offer ends 2nd of January 2018.
The Paul Ross Full Set Breakfast. Tomorrow morning from 6 on Talk Radio.
John Lennon once said,
life is what happens to you while you're busy making other plans.
Aerosmith sang,
life's a journey, not a destination.
And Sir Bruce Forsyth gave us...
Life is the name of the game, and I want to play the game with you.
So I hope you're busy making other plans to join me on my journey through the next Full Set Breakfast. That's the name of the game, courtesy of Bruce Forsyth, Steve Tyler and John Lennon.
The Paul Ross Full Set Breakfast, tomorrow morning from 6 on Talk Radio. John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
It is Talk Radio, and contrary to what I said before the break there, due to the unfolding situation in New York, where there's been an explosion of unknown origin, we don't have a confirmation as to what type of device was used, but let's find out what we do know as that story continues to develop. Will Geddes is a security expert, of course. He's been on the show many times. Good afternoon, Will.
Good afternoon, sir.
And I suppose that, but even me saying been on the show many times, just kind of indicates as to how often this kind of thing seems to be happening recently.
Yeah, sadly, it's unfortunately with a regular frequency right now, and whether it be here in the United Kingdom or in the United States or France for that matter, unfortunately, international terrorism remains prevalent and something, unfortunately, that is going to impinge on our lives somewhat.
So what do we know about this? I mean, has anyone said the T word yet?
Yes, they have. Yeah, the T word's already been mentioned. As to who's claiming responsibility, that hasn't happened yet. Probably won't for a few hours. But then again, it could be also for a few days, especially if it is Islamic State, as will be the immediate sort of speculation. What we do know right now is that the device detonated just after 8 o'clock this morning, New York time, at the Port Authority bus terminal, which is on 8th and 42nd Street. I know it quite well because I was out there a lot after 9/11.
Yeah.
And this is a really busy hub for commuters coming into Manhattan for their daily work. And from what we know so far, and again, this hasn't been completely confirmed, but it's believed or speculated that it was some pipe bomb of some description. The individual who was the perpetrator behind it has been taken in custody, was injured in the detonation, and there are, thankfully, from what we know so far, very few casualties.
Okay, and in terms of the bit where you're saying it was rush hour, so this was on, I'm just looking at it now. There's some are saying at a metro station, others are mentioning buses. What do we know about exactly where it happened with the commute?
Well, this particular location, I mean, for the listeners who might know New York quite well or don't, for that matter, if you think of Times Square, it's the most immediate proximity hub for Times Square. So reports I'm getting from friends of mine on the ground there is that Times Square is normally absolutely condensed for people. At present, it's like a ghost town with the number of authorities that have turned up. But this hub is a bus terminal, but it also does have metro station as well. So you've got a number of different converged elements into Midtown Manhattan for commuters coming in, obviously to go about not only their daily business, but also to visit that area of Manhattan.
Okay, and you're saying the reports are so far that it's a pipe bomb. Now, is this the kind of homemade bomb we're used to hearing about with other cases?
Yeah, absolutely. This falls under the sort of generic banner that we use, which is called IEDs or improvised explosive devices. These are a homemade device, but a pipe bomb is usually fairly easily concealable. And again, depending on how it's constructed and packed with the explosive, and if there are any trace elements of TATP, which is the most commonly used explosive component, as we're seeing certainly from those connected to Islamic State, the authorities will be no doubt all over this device. It would appear that if there is a very minimal amount of casualties, as we hope, are being reported right now, and the bomber themselves was in fact injured, that would say to me that this device detonated prematurely, which is a good thing, which means that there could be some parts that the authorities can forensically investigate.
Yeah, and what will the authorities be doing now? Because presumably, as again, sadly, in situations like this, they have to treat it as though it's not necessarily the only one. So there'll be some sort of plan being put into place in Manhattan, presumably across the entire island.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the NYPD, the various CT divisions, obviously within the NYPD, and we're talking a 30,000 strong police force, they are incredibly well rehearsed and practiced in what to do and how to contain the situation as best they can, but also not to polarize purely on the incident itself, but as you rightly say, look at anything else that could happen across Manhattan, because the big fear that we all have is that you have a series of consecutive attacks that could happen over one particular location.
Will, thank you very much for joining us, bringing us up to date. That is a developing story. That's Will Geddes, security expert, of course. Developing situation. There has been a bomb in New York, an explosion, certainly in New York. Early reports are saying a pipe bomb was detonated. Several people are believed to be injured. No deaths have been reported, which, of course, is a good thing. Suspect in custody. So that's what we know. Toby will be bringing us the very latest throughout the afternoon as well, of course. And just after 1:30, though, here he is with the latest news.
Talk Radio.
And you've just pretty much done my job for me. The New York Police Department says it is investigating an explosion near Times Square. A number of subway trains have been evacuated in the central Manhattan area as a precaution. There are reports there that suggest a suspect has been arrested. Sky's Hannah Thomas-Peter is in the city and says it appears to have happened at the Port Authority bus station, which is one of New York's main terminals.
That is how the vast majority of people commuting in from the New Jersey side arrive on the island to go to work. On Monday morning, it would be at its busiest time.
The inquiry into the Grenfell Tower disaster has been told survivors do not feel included in it. 2 days of procedural hearings are being held before evidence starts to be heard next month. It's looking into things like timeframes and which evidence to prioritise. The European Commission has confirmed the Brexit deal struck between the UK and EU is not legally binding. Its main spokesman says it's a gentleman's agreement between Theresa May and Commission President Jean-Claude Juncker. Thousands of people have been left without power, hundreds of schools are closed, and dozens of flights are delayed due to snow and ice. Forecasters are warning of potentially dangerous conditions as 5 yellow weather warnings remain in place for parts of the UK. And Uber's court appeal against the loss of its right to operate in London will take place next spring. The taxi hailing app was told in September its licence wouldn't be renewed. It'll be allowed to continue running then, there until then. Now, your weather, wintry showers in the northwest, otherwise fairly clear for most, with some sleety rain coming to the south. Top temperatures ranging from 0 to 6 Celsius in the west.
Thanks, Toby.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. How's the leg bearing up?
It's pretty similar to how it was.
Yeah, I'd just like to get updates.
25 minutes ago.
Yeah,
I mean, well, people keep asking me if it hurts, but the doctor told me whether I was in pain or not, I needed to take the maximum amount of ibuprofen and paracetamol for the first 3 days. So the answer to hurt is I don't know.
What
because
is the
I'm
maximum
on
amount?
4,000 milligrams of paracetamol and 1,200 milligrams of ibuprofen.
Yeah.
Is what he recommended for me, I should say, because I don't know whether, as a non-medic, I don't know whether that's always the same for women, fully grown people, children, etc. So I would say make sure you check with your doctor if you're doing that.
Yeah, you're not medically qualified to speak on this.
No, I'm just saying what he recommended for me.
Great.
The maximum
well, keep
amount.
Us up to date, Toby. I think we all
well, I mean,
you,
I'm basically numb inside and out because
well,
I'm on so
you
much.
You are anyway.
I am anyway, but in particular at the moment because I'm on so much pain relief.
You've got bonus news.
Yes, yes. No, yeah, no, I thought you were about to say something about bone, but no. Bonus news, yes.
No, it's a ligament,
my bones are okay, exactly. Yeah. It's ligament. Your daughter's bones.
Bonus news today is
animal news.
That's right. Yeah. So that's going to be happening about 3:30. Mm. The reason is your bulletins are only 2 minutes long. It's not enough time to bulletin.
And on the half hour, only a minute and a half.
Exactly. Mm. So it's not enough time to cover everything off.
No.
So we like to bring you bonus news around about 3:30, which covers animal, vegetable and mineral.
Yes.
Today, animal news.
I've never done anything other than animal news. Because the last time you asked me to do this, you changed on that day. It was the first Friday without Victoria.
Yeah.
And it was her favourite one. So you made sure that the first one in her absence was animal. So I've never done anything but animal news.
All right, well, back again
and
today.
I won't do. Right. I won't do until Thursday.
Great. Thanks, Tobes.
Thank you.
Good. Toby there will be bringing us up to date with the news as the afternoon wears on. It's Talk Radio in the afternoon.
The Paul Ross Full Set Breakfast. Tomorrow morning from 6 on Talk Radio.
John Lennon once said,
life is what happens to you while you're busy making other plans.
Aerosmith sang,
life's a journey.
And Sir Bruce Forsyth gave us,
life is the name of the game, and I want to play the game with you.
So I hope you're busy making other plans to join me on my journey through the next Full Set Breakfast. That's the name of the game, courtesy of Bruce Forsyth, Steve Tyler and John Lennon.
The Paul Ross Full Set Breakfast, tomorrow morning from 6 on Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
So, plastic then. Plastic is all over the news. Certainly yesterday, as the supplements for my Sunday paper of choice, and indeed all the other ones, are always wrapped in a plastic bag. All of them are, aren't they? All the supplements at the weekend in a plastic bag. The papers bang on about the problem of plastic, yet do so in pages that come swaddled in the stuff. I mean, I obviously did my bit. I threw my plastic bag in the sea so it would choke a turtle. Of course I didn't. You don't actually get turtles off Whitstable. It's more likely a seal. I kid, of course. I recycled it. I put it in the relevant bin that the council see fit to insist I use for plastics and so forth. Except we learned today that councils across the country aren't recycling plastic even when you give it to them, and entrust that they will. 27% of councils won't take rigid plastics, yoghurt pots, margarine tubs and so on, at all. One council won't even take away any plastic. Only 7% take carrier bags, although I think bin bags are made of plastic, which seems kind of self-defeating anyway. I checked my own council, right, I've checked the details of my own council, which is in Kent. They won't even empty a bin if your lid is slightly ajar, or if it's raining, or if the bin man or lady or bin non-specific gender is in a bad mood. Right, they're only currently recycling 66% of what households give them at any one time. The rest of it, even though you and I attempt to do the right thing at home, is simply chucked in a landfill site with all of the rest of the crap. It's not good enough, is it, Lee Marshall, CEO of Lorac?
Well, it's not quite like that, to be fair, John. If you separate out your material for recycling and put it in the recycling container, that material is recycled. It's not mixed with the other stuff.
That's not what they say in Canterbury.
Well, I'd like to know where you got that information from, then.
Well, I can tell you, I get it from my local council, because what happens is they have to put their specific targets of what they're recycling at any one time. And even though we recycle, if I recycle 100%, they are only recycling 66%. That's the figure.
You're referring to the stuff that then goes through a sorting facility.
Well, I'm referring to recycling.
Yeah, when a council collects the material for recycling, it's doing just that. It's collecting. It then needs to give it to another company or a reprocessor, and they'll put it through a sorting plant. And then the material that comes out at the end of the sorting plant is the stuff that gets recycled.
So what happens to the rest? So what happens to the other?
Yeah. Now, when it goes through the sorting plant, sometimes there'll be things that people put in their recycling. They put it in there by mistake. Sometimes it might be some of the plastics that we don't want, and sometimes they put things in there that can contaminate the actual load itself. So people have been known to put things like nappies and other things and food in their recycling containers.
So does it come down to sort of our fault then, this level of recycling, or is it the council's fault?
It's a little bit of everybody, so we could all do a little bit more to make sure we use the right recycling containers. Councils do try and make their information as clear as they can, but sometimes, yes, it could perhaps be a little bit clearer. And we also want to look to the people who make these products to make them more easy to recycle in the first place.
So what is it that we're dealing with today, then, with these figures? Because that's going to come as a shock to some people, isn't it? 27% of councils won't take yoghurt pots or margarine tubs.
Yeah, I mean that figure was a lot lower in the last 5 years or so, that's actually an improvement on where we were. And some of that's to do with, again, these sorting facilities. So not all the sorting facilities can separate out the pots, tubs and trays. And actually, the sort of plastic they're made from, the market that deals in these things, it's not a grade of plastic that's well sought after. So it's more difficult to find an outlet for it once you have got it sorted.
Right. So where does that leave us? That takes it back to the manufacturer then, presumably, does it?
A little bit, but these materials are sort of traded on global markets. So obviously, if we're buying a lot of merchandise and products that are made in other countries, such as China, then that's where the material needs to go to be recycled back into these products. And it depends on the oil prices as well. So we've seen plastics recyclers, at least five of them in the last 3 or 4 years, close in the UK because of the market conditions.
Right, so again, this is, and you're right, I was reading this earlier as well, so it comes down to a lot of places. It's budgets again, isn't it? It's kind of central government funding, and where the council chooses to spend that money and where they can divvy it up. So if they can't afford the facilities to do it,
it stands to reason that it's going to drop off in that area.
Potentially, yeah. I mean, you're probably aware the last 5 or 6 years, councils have had their budgets cut by around 40%.
Yeah.
And that's going to impact on the services, and each council will make a choice about what's important to the residents in their area. So is it recycling? Is it libraries? Social services? All these services a council provides are competing for an ever smaller pot of money.
Yeah. So what's the answer, Lee? I mean, it's because, you know, it makes the headlines, of course, and people do get frustrated with it because, you know, everyone tries to do their bit, as I say, and then, you know, we read figures like this and you just end up thinking, well, that's a waste of time, me doing it then, isn't it? But that's not the case, is it?
No, it's not the case. Like I say, the majority of material you put in your recycling container will get recycled. If we all just put a little bit more in our recycling container that perhaps we put in the black bag or the black bin at the moment, that would help massively. And again, if we think about what we're buying in the first place, because we create waste when we buy something, not when we throw it away.
Yeah.
You can do a little bit smarter shopping as well and think about, well, could I put this in my recycling bin when I get back home? That would make a big difference. And then we can also put pressure then on the retailers and the producers to try and make their packaging better still.
Do you think there's it's slightly unfair on householders in terms of, I know you were talking about how clear it's supposed to be, but I still, you know, people do get slightly confused about what can go in what, I think, still, don't they? And is the answer to that sort of more education about it? Because I'll sometimes find myself standing next to the recycling bin holding something going, does that go in there or does it go in there? And you know, we don't know. I mean, it's one of those things where things aren't necessarily as straightforward as you might think.
No, they're not always, and councils need to keep their communications going, so it's no good telling us once, because, you know, even I would forget about things over time. So it's that constant communications, and it does tend to be plastics where people aren't quite so sure. But some of the confusion is the fact we're a lot more mobile as a society nowadays, so we go and visit our parents or our friends in different council areas, and they say, well, I can recycle that here, and you go, oh, I can't recycle that where I am, and it gets people interested. So they're not always confused about what they can recycle in their own area, but they're actually more aware about what others can in theirs. So they're more confused about why all the councils don't do all the same thing.
And there's the other problem as well, is because people now end up with, four or five different bins for stuff. And a lot of the houses in Britain don't have room for it either. So, you know, that's why you get lines of bins outside, you know, terraced houses, for example, isn't it? And it comes down to room a lot of the time. And cost, of course, because a lot of councils charge people for the bins as well.
Yeah, it is difficult. I mean, the waste has got to get sorted at some point. So, you know, the metals and the plastics need to be separated and the glass. So you can try and do some of that in the house, which is where you've got all these, you know, the 3 or 4 recycling containers, or you put it all in one container and it goes to a sorting plant. But as you know, as we've already said, there's problems then with how much material goes through the sorting plant and gets rejected. So it's a fine line between, you know, trying to get the householder to do perhaps some, but not too much that it turns them off, and not relying too much on the technology that takes a while to update and get better.
So in a final sort of 20 seconds, Lee, if you can, what's the answer to this? Who has to do more? Everyone?
Yeah, it's on a basic level, everyone. So if as an individual, we all need a bit more to put it in the right recycling bin, and if the manufacturers can do a bit more to make it more recyclable, then that would go a long way to helping the situation.
Yeah. And the council that won't take carrier bags?
Not many councils do, to be fair, but nearly all the supermarkets do. And since the 5p levy came in, the amount of plastic bags that are being used has dropped off dramatically anyway.
So that's worked, yeah, OK. Good, Lee, thank you for joining us. Let's Lee Marshall, CEO of LARAC. They're the Local Authority Recycling Advisory Committee, which I didn't tell you at the beginning and probably should have. Right, quarter to 2 o'clock, a diversity paper review on the way next. It's Talk Radio in the afternoons.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
A radio star is born.
You're going to love
Talk Radio.
Could your business benefit from cloud accounting? Sage Business Cloud. Get paid faster by issuing invoices on the move. Complete your VAT return in seconds. And link your bank account for a real-time picture of your business finances. See how Sage Business Cloud can benefit your business with a free 30-day trial of Sage Accounting. Visit sage.co.uk/free trial. Sage Business Cloud.
helping you manage everything from money to people. Be Sage. Build on.
Hiring for your business is important, and with today's technology, it shouldn't be so hard to hire great candidates. Indeed.com makes it easy. Easy to post a job, easy to manage candidates, easy to get help. How easy is that? Post your next job on Indeed, the UK's number one job site. For a limited time, we're giving new users a £50 credit to post a sponsored job. Claim your £50 credit at Indeed.com/redeem. That's Indeed.com/redeem. Terms, conditions and quality standards apply. The UK's number one job site, according to Comscore.
How does NCS make me feel?
When I see Mum and Dad's faces as I tell them I'm cooking tonight, it's like, yes!
When I perform CPR and save that man's life, who cares if he's plastic? It's like, oh yeah!
When I realise I'm not scared of heights, I love them! It's like, woohoo!
In a word, NCS makes me feel unstoppable. Search NCS to find out more.
We've got it at Selco! Selco, it's where the trade goes.
The festive season has started at Selco Builders Warehouse, and we're celebrating with Selco's 12 deals of Christmas. Like an Oxpro 7-inch carbon steel bucket trowel for only $5.49, or an Oxpro folding knife for only $7.99. Now that's a Christmas cracker. Don't miss Selco's 12 deals of Christmas. Only available until the 15th of December. Prices exclude VAT. Find out more at selcobw.com.
We've got it at Selco. Selco, it's where the trade goes.
Talk Radio, traffic and travel.
In Essex on the M25, anti-clockwise, it's queuing between junction 28 for the Brook Street roundabout and 26 for Waltham Abbey because of emergency repairs, and two of the four lanes are closed. It's taking around an hour to get through. In Somerset on the M5, it's very slow southbound between junction 19 for Portishead and 21 for Western Supermare after an accident earlier. And in the West Midlands on the M6 northbound, it's slow between junction 7 for Great Bar and junction 9 for Wensbury. That's because of an accident and a lane is closed. I'm Katie Tyler.
At the Co-op, 2 litre bottles of Pepsi Max are only £1.25. Perfect for when Martin and Val pop by for a Christmas get-together. Christmas is coming together at the Co-op. Subject to availability. See participating stores for details. Offer ends 2nd of January 2018.
Greetings, Earthlings. We come in peace. We wish to communicate with your leader.
I'm Howard Hughes. Join me this Sunday night from 10 for a trip into the outer limits.
Untwist the lid on Talk Radio's specimen jar of the psychic, the supernatural, and the simply unexplained.
The Unexplained with Howard Hughes. Sunday night from 10, Earth Time, on Talk Radio.
John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Good afternoon. You are listening to Talk Radio. I am John Holmes. A lot going on, of course. Now, the police are saying in New York there are no injuries other than the suspect in this bombing incident, what we think is a pipe bomb in Manhattan. No injuries other than the suspect, which Will Geddes was saying to us, of course, about it being a bomb that went off prematurely, perhaps, which kind of ties in with that theory. But that's what we're hearing at the moment. That's going on. There's a lot of snow around. You've probably noticed it. There's been a jungle thing where a posh woman won a thing. That's on front of some of the papers. There's Brexit. There's stuff going on all over the place, basically. Plastic in the sea. Your council's not recycling as much plastic as it should be. You're not doing it properly there, according to the man from the place. It's all very complicated, isn't it, Cornelius?
Yeah, I can't get my head around it.
That's right. We're here to help, of course. And we do so using short-form Oriental verse, Japanese poetry. That's right. 575. That's the syllables. It's the news in haikus.
House prices fall from far too expensive to still far too expensive.
The news in haikus. Right, to the newspapers. That's what the radio does, isn't it? And the television, isn't it? They all go, oh, look, in the newspapers. Let's review the newspapers, even though they're so out of date, because that's not how the news works these days. It's all on the social media and online, isn't it? However, we will not falter. We will continue furrowing the same... Well, furrow. By going through them. But we do it differently. We do it each day with a different diversity. It makes us the most diverse programme in broadcasting. And that's the right thing to do. It's a big issue in the media. We like to do our bit. So today we welcome making a debut on the newspaper diversity pay-per-view. Sam, hello.
Hello there, John.
Remind us of your diversity.
I am Jewish.
That's right. What have you been seeing in the papers?
There's been a lot of stuff about the snow, John, I must say. Probably too much.
Well... I mean, the thing is, when this happens, it is... The papers love it. There are two types of photograph, I think, for the newspapers. Mm. It's line of traffic.
Yes.
Or tobogganing people.
Yeah, mostly traffic in this one.
Right.
I must say.
Okay, so tell us what... tell us where the hot... Oh, hello. Technical issue. Tell us where the hot spots are.
Well, the Times have gone with snow brings mayhem and joy. So it says all the council-run schools in Birmingham are closed.
Yeah.
And there are suspended flights from Luton and Birmingham. And also a ferry in Kent ran aground in the wind, apparently.
Yeah, wasn't it off Calais?
Yes.
It was the Pride of Kent, is that right?
That's the one. Yeah.
I've been on that ferry.
Have you?
And believe you me, running aground is a fitting end. they've refloated it now, I realise.
Yes,
terrible.
Yes.
But
it's
all
good now.
So what, in terms of the country being... So it's kind of divided the country again. So we had... My parents live in the Midlands. I spoke to them yesterday about it, and there was this... the schools are closed, you know, but my sister was angry because her shopping that was going to be delivered.
Birmingham seemed quite hard.
Couldn't get there. Birmingham hard hit, all that kind of stuff. So, but down here in the south, we've had some flurries of snow, but it's just mainly driving rain, isn't it?
Yeah, it hasn't seemed to have caused much problem in London. I think most of the news out of London was kind of people kind of enjoying themselves, enjoying the weekend. But yeah, most of the chaos seems to be up north.
Yeah.
Apart from there were some trains in London that are apparently moving very slowly, 20 miles an hour.
Right.
People were moaning.
That's kind of normal though.
Yeah.
But it's always like this, Sam, isn't it, when the snow happens? It's always the country grinds to a halt, grinds to a standstill with just a couple of inches of snow. And then you look across to Europe, you know, where they have massive snow sometimes. They just carry on as normal.
There was an American football game.
That's Brexit's fault.
Yeah, it's definitely down to Brexit.
American football game, I saw this, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. There was like a blizzard on, but people were still there, just wearing big coats, just kind of, you know, enjoying the match.
And the game carried on. I mean, properly, they were playing in, and like with, you couldn't even see the scoreboard because of the blizzard. Yet the players were just finished the game. That wouldn't happen here.
Never. Absolutely never. So. Never would happen there. There's a lot about elderly people being at risk as well, and about the NHS being under pressure, which is pretty normal. And also, the odds for a white Christmas have gone to a 1 in 2 chance of snowing over the 24 hours,
now
apparently.
They've changed the rules on this. We were talking about this last week with the Met Office on the show, and the rules changed. It had to fall, the one snowflake, and there are a lot of those around these days, aren't they? Mm-hmm. Hey, millennials. had to fall in London on Christmas Day, but now it's anywhere in the country where there's a weather station, essentially, so they've widened that out. So you
it's
can dream
easier.
Of a white Christmas nationwide, although one snowflake does not a white Christmas make. Did you see the amusing story about the Britain First? You know Britain First?
I did see this,
who
yes.
Who were embroiled in that whole Trump retweet the videos thing a couple of weeks ago. They were organising a rally in Dublin. Was it Dublin, I think? Or Belfast?
Yes,
Dublin,
I think
maybe
it was
Dublin. And because of the snow yesterday, they were grounded. So literally, Britain First couldn't do their rally because of snowflakes.
That's it. We've peaked.
That's quite good.
We can retire now.
Sorry, Sam. What else have you got there? So we've got snow.
Lots and lots of snow. Moving on from the snow, though, also in the Daily Mail, apparently teachers are saying energy drinks should be banned from schools.
Why? They're sending the kids nuts.
Apparently, yeah, apparently it affects their behaviour. It leads to poor discipline, and they've been described as ready, available, legal highs. Apparently.
What, energy drink? I mean, you have to drink
drinks.
A lot of energy drink to get high on it, wouldn't you? I mean, that's like a Lucozade Sport or something, one of those things. Is that what they're talking about?
I believe so. Or maybe stuff more like Red Bull.
A Monster. Those massive cans of Monster, you know.
I've never had that.
They're awful.
I mean, it looks weird. I mean, you know, you sort of see, you go, who's, oh, van drivers, yeah. Yeah, yeah, oh, yeah. I got you.
Other awful energy drinks are available, by the way.
Yeah. Other awful energy drinks. Well, but the cans are too big
for
the
huge
monster.
Yeah, that's what I mean. If you drink an entire can of that, your insides won't be melting.
I don't know. I mean, we don't have that. I mean, you might want to check that with their lawyers, yeah. Dave. I mean,
hang on.
Dave said that.
No, it's not. Hang on, I've just checked. That's not an official line.
Okay, good.
All right. Sure,
yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
It's more a whimsical look at it.
Thank you. Just to be clear. So it's... but giving kids that stuff anyway, I mean, I don't know... You know, when I was a kid, fizzy drinks were... You know, don't drink... The fizzy drinks are always bad for you.
Yeah.
They're a treat, weren't they?
Well, apparently kids see it as kind of like a fizzy drink, but it should be considered as something, you know, a bit more powerful, maybe.
Yeah, but I wouldn't even give kids fizzy drinks.
So there you go.
That sends a mental as well. So don't do it.
So you agree, John?
Step away! Yeah, absolutely. Give them water. They need bread and water to survive. What's wrong with them? Bloody snowflakes. Very quickly, another last thing you've found with your eyes.
With my eyes, I found out that Prince Harry, went on a hunting trip with a pal in Germany, apparently.
Right, what's he gone hunting exactly?
He went hunting boars.
Did he?
Yes.
Right.
The paper doesn't know much about it. Apparently he went last year, and the hunting trip had about 60 people on it. So there you go.
And do we know how many boars he's bagged?
I don't know. I don't think the paper said, because right. Kensington Palace refused to comment, so there you go.
Right, yeah. You see, one week he's all popular because of his engagement. Next minute, he's just shooting wild animals in the face, such is the life of a royal.
As you do.
Yeah. Look, it's only time for the news. Went past quickly, didn't it? Didn't it, Sam, though? Didn't it?
Shot by.
Doesn't time fly when you're reviewing the papers.
In the next bit, we are going to be talking ghosts, right?
Of course.
Yeah. Well, this is the thing. There's a story in the Metro, for a start, about a woman who says she's given up relationships with humans and is now regularly having sex with a succession of ghosts.
Ooh, yeah.
Right?
The ghost lady. Mm.
Yeah. I guess they're putting the willies up her.
There he is.
Little joke there.
Well done.
Little clap. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you, everyone. But Danny Robbins, the writer and broadcaster, he's got a new podcast he's doing called Haunted, where he's talking to people who, contemporary people who have got in touch saying that they don't believe in ghosts, but something's happened to them that they literally can't explain. And it's been, this podcast's quite successful now. It's gone top 10 and all that kind of stuff. Anyway, he's going to come in and talk to us about it, because I'm quite fascinated by this kind of stuff. Because I don't believe in ghosts at all. I think it's absolute nonsense. Yet there are people with these stories and they can't explain it. But can science explain it? And if we are seeing something, what are we seeing if it's not a ghost? We'll be answering that in the next half an hour, solving centuries of confusion over what ghosts might actually be, Sam.
There we go.
Right, all that's on the way, along with a game of Norwegian black metal band, or Eskimo word for snow. We'll be talking to drunk people about the week's news as they stagger out of pubs and clubs and bars. We've been shoving microphones in their faces over the weekend to find out what they think. There's the big debate at 3, and we'll be going through some television reviews for you as well with work experience punditry. All on the way to Talk Radio in the afternoons.
Talk Radio. Dial up some dialogue.
Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Still haven't signed up to Selco Predictor? Why not?
What a chance! What a goal!
There's a million good reasons why you should. Sign up now at selcobw.com/predictor and use your footballing foresight for the chance to become a millionaire.
£1 million!
Plus, in December, win flights and £150 spending money for a sensational two-night city stay in a European hotspot of your choice. The Selco Predictor. Download the Selco app now or sign up for free at selcobw.com/predictor.
Okay, what's this one here? To Uncle Gary, Merry Xmas, love, Polly. Kiss, kiss. Bit overwrapped, that's fine.
Oh, wow! These trainers are meant to be sold out everywhere. How did she even get hold of these?
Surprise them with something thoughtful this Christmas. Check eBay now for great prices on great brands. From the sharpest fashion to the techiest tech, eBay. Fill your cart with colour.
Homes come in all shapes and sizes. Starter homes and second homes. Bungalows and high-rise flats. New builds and country piles. So when it comes to installing a premium boiler, one size won't fit all. That's why at Valent, there's a solution for every kind of home and every heating need. Because we believe to make a house a home, you need a boiler that's a perfect fit. Find out more at valent.co.uk. Valent. Comfort for your home.
Across the UK, online and on DAB. Access all radios.
Talk Radio. Give it some lip. Talk Radio.
And just after two, it's Talk Radio. Yes, it is. Here's Toby with the very latest news.
Coming up, New York investigates explosion, Grenfell inquiry pre-hearing begins, and NHS trust in special measures.
Talk Radio.
A major emergency response is underway in New York after an explosion near Times Square. Police have confirmed they have made an arrest, while President Trump has been briefed about the incident. A number of subway trains have been evacuated in the central Manhattan area as a precaution. Security expert Will Geddes told Talk Radio's John Holmes the NYPD's main concern will be of more devices around the city.
They are incredibly well rehearsed in what to do, but also not to polarise purely on the incident itself, but as you rightly say, look at anything else that could happen across Manhattan, because the big fear that we all have is that you have a series of consecutive attacks that could happen over one particular location.
Survivors of the Grenfell Tower disaster don't feel included in its inquiry. That's the message given at the start of 2 days of pre-hearings, which began today. Evidence will start to be heard next month. Michael Mansfield QC represents 24 of the families affected by the June tragedy, which killed 71. He's urged the man leading the inquiry to have a panel that includes people from every affected background.
It should be reflective of the community for there to be, at the end of the day, confidence in the findings. You yourself cannot be expected to reflect the diversity in one person. No one person on earth could do that.
An NHS trust has been placed into special measures just hours after its chairman resigned. Regulator NHS Improvement says it has serious concerns about the growing shortfall in finances at London's King's College Hospital Trust. Sir Bob Kerslake quit last night, saying the way the health service is funded needs a fundamental rethink. The wintry weather has meant dozens of flights have been cancelled, while drivers are facing icy conditions in parts of the country. Thousands of homes have also been left without power. And Dame Judi Dench, Gary Oldman, Claire Foy and Jude Law are among the British nominees in the running for acting prizes at the Golden Globes. World War II movie Dunkirk is up for the Best Drama Film Award.
Thanks very much, Toby. Huh? So thanks very much, Toby.
That's quite all right.
That was great.
Glad you liked it.
Yeah, I did. It's my favourite news yet.
Really?
Yeah.
Which bit?
I don't know. I wasn't really listening.
No, thought not.
Okay, so Toby's with bonus news in around an hour and a half's time. Today, all of the animal news. If it's happening in the world of animals...
All of it.
All of it.
Toby will be there for a long time.
We'll squash it in. If you see an animal news story out there and you'd like to let us know for inclusion in the animal
please
news...
Please do, I'm struggling.
There we go. You can just at Talk Radio on Twitter, can't you? Just tweet us the link.
Yeah. Or email me.
It's
no?
Very old-fashioned, isn't it?
Well, I mean, it would come directly to me that way.
What's your email?
toby.gillis@talksport.co.uk.
Right.
I imagine talkradio.co.uk works as well, but I'm not sure.
Yeah.
So go for the Talk Sport one.
Good.
Email me your animal stories.
Look at that. That's interactive, isn't it?
How many do you think I'll get?
You're going to get loads of not animal stories.
I only want
email
animal
Toby
ones.
Absolute nonsense, please.
No, don't do that.
Just spam.
Then I'll have to...
spam him
then
for
I'll
the
have
of the
to
afternoon.
Hunt through
now you've given
out
your
news.
Email address, which I think was a mistake.
Yeah.
Yeah. Feels like it was a mistake.
I mean, all that people are going to do now, whenever they log into anywhere or buy something, is put your email address down, and so you're the one who's going to get all the spam.
Well, yeah. They can do that as much as they like.
Ooh, yeah, might sign up to some sort of online magazine.
Do that as well.
Fine. There we go.
I've heard about your sorts of online magazines.
Yeah, you don't know about Dave's magazines. Right, we're going to be talking ghosts next. Toby's got some weather before that, though.
Talk Radio National Weather.
Wintry showers in the northwest. Otherwise, fairly clear for most, with some sleety rain, though, coming to the south. Top temperatures ranging from 0 to 6 Celsius in the west.
Thanks very much. And now here's...
Andrew?
With the pre-recorded sport.
Talk Radio Sports Update.
With Selco Builders Warehouse. Thousands of trade products to buy online and deliver to your door the next day. Selco's got it.
Chelsea will resume rivalries with Barcelona in the last 16 of the Champions League. The draw has also pitched Tottenham against the Italian champions Juventus. Manchester City take on Basel, Manchester United are up against Sevilla, and it's Liverpool against Porto. And European football expert Andy Brassell told TalkSport that Porto are a threat going forward.
They are a side that scores a lot of goals. They won 5-0 against Setúbal at the weekend, and Vincent Aboubakar, who scored a hat-trick in that game, he's now scored more goals than Ronaldo or Messi in this season all in. He's got 21 all in all competitions.
Chelsea will be the only side playing their first leg at home. The biggest eye-catcher in the last 16 is Real Madrid against the wealth of PSG. And fans will now be allowed to attend Saracens' match with Clermont this evening in Rugby Union's European Champions Cup. It's been deemed that Allianz Park is now safe enough for supporters to attend. There was a possibility the match might have been behind closed doors. That's the latest sports news powered by TalkSport.
Thank you very much indeed. That's the latest sports news powered by TalkSport. Right, 6 minutes past 2 o'clock. We're about to go ghost hunting.
Talk Radio. John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
To some, it was a miracle. Others called it the triumph of illiteracy. Radio, it revolutionized the way people learned about their world. It changed forever the way people would be entertained.
John Holmes. Talk Radio.
For those about to talk,
we salute you. Play
mischief. Okay, good afternoon. 7 minutes past the time. It is Talk Radio. I am young. Still to come on the programme then, a game of this band, specifically Norwegian black metal band, or Eskimo word for snow. Probably can't say Eskimo anymore. Probably Inuit now, I think. Got that from my daughter's recent school project on the Inuit. So it's Norwegian death metal band or Inuit word for snow. If you'd like to have a go on that, you'll be playing against Cornelius. Hi, Cornelius.
Hello.
0344 499 1000. Chloe will answer the telephone. There is also work experience punditry. Our work experience Sid is in today. Reviewing television. And the reason we've told him it's a leg up into the industry, of course. Absolute balls. He's only here because we don't have to pay him. Big debate at three. Drunk people canvass for their opinions on the week's news. We've been out and about shoving microphones into the faces of the smashed. Over the weekend is a feature we call Alco Vox Pops. Now, though, hot guest action. Oh, actually, I feel like I've made a mistake. I should have played some spooky music, Danny Robbins, shouldn't I?
Hello, hello.
How are you?
I'm very good, thank you.
Thank you. A bit nearer to the microphone because they're rubbish.
Oh, right, okay, there we go.
There it is, yeah. Yeah, no, I should have got Atmos spook music, spooky music there.
That would have been nice, or maybe Ray Parker Jr.
Yeah. No, I didn't. Anyway, look, the reason you're here is because let's put our cards on the table. I know you.
You do? Yeah.
And we've been friends for many years.
Yeah.
Worked together on lots of different things. And you start this new podcast.
I have, called Haunted.
Yes, which you sort of messaged me and said, I'm doing this new podcast.
You're really showing the workings of this, aren't you?
I really am, yeah.
Inspiration for publicity.
Absolutely. I'd like to come on and talk about it. But I'd already subscribed to it.
Oh, well,
so
good.
I already knew about it.
There you go, it's
It is, and I love it. So I was like, yeah, and I love talking about ghosts, and I'm fascinated by that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
anyway,
yeah,
very into it. So I've been very much enjoying it, and so has everyone else because it's gone like top 10 iTunes and all that kind of stuff.
It did, and it seems to be going well. We hit the top 70 in America as well, apparently is good. So.
That is good.
There you go.
Well, look, for those that don't know, tell us about it because it's a very simple premise.
It is, yeah, and it kind of started life. I was writing this play about which had a ghost story in it, and I said on social media, can you tell me your ghost stories? And I suddenly got deluged with these amazing stories, and I thought, I've got to do something with this. This was kind of this amazing raw material. So I set up this podcast, and so all the stories are drawn from social media or people contacting us in different ways. And it's basically real people's ghost stories. And we want to know why it happens, not just what happened, but why. So we probe the kind of psychological backdrop, the kind of social backdrop, and it's just kind of exploring, you know, why we need ghosts in our lives and why society needs ghosts.
Yeah. Okay, well, before we talk about that, and I'm fairly sure we, in the next 20 minutes, we're going to solve the mystery of ghosts once and for all.
I hope so.
I mean, people have tried to do this for centuries, but I reckon we can nail it.
Let's do it.
Let's have a clip, first of all.
Yeah, why not?
What we're going to... Cornelius, I know you've been lining them up. Which one are we going to hear first?
It's a random selection.
Oh, fine, okay. well done, everyone. From a random selection of ghost clips from Haunted, here's the first.
She's come downstairs.
So walks down the steps into the kitchen at the back of the house.
Yep.
And then, in the middle of what should be an empty room...
There's an old lady sitting on a chair who says, good morning, it's my mum.
And what does your mum do at this point?
She instantly says, good morning. She replies back. Because she's like half asleep. She goes to the kettle, turns it on, turns around, and she's gone. Took my mum totally by surprise, because It's not something you expect to see. Is somebody come down into your kitchen and there's somebody sitting there.
And was this just a one-off event?
Once that started happening, it's sort of like that was sort of like the catalyst for it all beginning.
And so how often was this happening?
It was getting to the stage where it was sort of like expected.
Months and months of living with a ghost, walking into the kitchen every morning and seeing a ghost in your kitchen.
Yeah, my mum saw practically every day.
Now, you see, that's very much the format of it, is someone's emailed you a story, as you say, and then you go and chat to them, find out the story, and then start looking kind of behind what might happen, right? And that's just one example. I mean, it's... But as you say, it's contemporary sound, because we're used to ghost stories being sort of, you know, got old-fashioned headless horseman kind of stuff. But this is... You know, all of it just sounds so now and current. You know, you've got families in houses in Ealing, you've got this guy here, a bloke who saw a thing in an attic.
We deliberately avoid those kind of haunted manors and the kind of, you know, the heritage ghosts. And, yeah, it's just, it is real people. And I think that's a really interesting one. That's a story that took place, the original haunting was in the 70s in Walthamstow. And it was about, it's called The Racist Ghost, and it was about a ghost that seemed to be chasing out immigrant families who moved into a particular house. And as we explored it, and I went through the electoral registers, I delved into the history of the house, it started to emerge that this was a kind of urban myth that had grown up in the 70s when it was kind of, you know, a time of racism and unsettled times. And so that's the interesting thing, to kind of probe these stories that start off as a domestic haunting and then see how it spreads out.
So what's your take on it? Because you've interviewed a lot of these people. Now, the ones, you know, that have stuck in my mind from listening is that, you know, there was the first episode, in fact, there was the one with a family in Ealing, right? And they were just in a house, and then slightly odd things started to happen. And then the lady of the house with a small child just wouldn't go back, moved back to her mum's.
They felt there was poltergeist activity, that things flew across the room, a baby steriliser unit flew across the room. And I think it was a real example of how fear spreads and how two people together in that unsettled state of new parentdom can sort of unsettle each other.
Yeah. I mean, there was because I'm getting a sense that you, while fascinated by these stories, aren't buying any of it. Is that fair to say?
I don't know.
I mean, I'll give you for instance. So you talk about the you know, listening to it, she tells, you know, she's sincere, of course, the lady in it, as they all are, because they are witnesses to this stuff, as far as they're concerned, sees this heavy lid of a baby steriliser fly across, 10 feet across the kitchen, without anyone being anywhere near it. Now, when you listen to that, as a story, and there's no explanation, there's no physical explanation for that, lids don't do that. Or do they?
Well, this is the question. I mean, I think what I try and do, to be honest, I try and straddle both worlds, you know, kind of the believer and the sceptic, because I feel if I come out and express what I think too much, and that will put people off telling me their stories potentially, or, you know, if I came out as an ardent believer, it would put skeptics off listening.
Yeah.
And the really nice thing is that on this show I seem to get equal amounts of contact from believers and skeptics. So I don't know, I think what we try and do, we try and offer explanations to the person, but we never ever debunk. We don't say, like, you know, you definitely,
because it's real to them, isn't it?
Exactly. That's the point. Exactly. Yeah. And there's a great quote, I think, from Harry Price, the famous ghost hunter from the 1930s and 40s, and he says the idea of do ghosts exist is a very difficult question, but if you want to ask do people see apparitions, the answer is definitely yes. You know, people do see these things.
Well, there's been many explanations down the years. I mean, you know, I'm quite into this stuff as well, so I've read upon it. You've probably read Paranormality, the Richard Wiseman
book. Yes, absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
And the Roger Clark History of Hauntings.
Absolutely. He's in the series as well.
I went and spent a night in a haunted hotel with him
for
a documentary about almost a year ago. And fascinating talking to him as well, because he's researched this in some detail. And the way that ghost stories change over the years, but essentially that comes down to these core parts, I suppose, that people have this sort of belief and this want, almost, isn't it, to believe, because it's like with believing in God. It's like, this can't be all there is a lot of people's psychology.
I think it's kind of our need for magic in our lives, and also we need them in different ways. One of our episodes we did was about people who were going through grief, people who'd lost someone, and how we need ghosts and how ghosts can be a part of this healing process, the idea of still being in touch with your loved one.
Yeah.
And you know, other ghosts in the series have kind of, I think, have maybe sprung from loneliness as well.
Yeah.
You know, there's a guy who shared his bed with a ghost.
Yeah. And one of the really fascinating ones was the guy in South Africa who was growing up there at the time of apartheid, of course, and he was in a white, privileged, moneyed family. And all around him was the chaos of apartheid, violence, and, you know, and all this unrest. But what he saw I mean, I didn't see that coming. Well, you know, when you're listening to it, you go, okay, the episode's called The Thing in the Attic.
Yeah.
You know, there's going to be a thing in an attic. What the thing was in the attic, I was like, what? What is that? But he totally believes he saw this.
Are we doing spoiler alert?
I don't know. I don't know whether to or not. No, I don't think. I think we
essentially something in his house comes to life that sort of taps into some of his guilt as a person, a white guy living through apartheid.
But when you listen to it, though, you and then you talk about the psychology of why he may have seen what he did. That all makes sense as well. And there's a bit where you talk to, is it Hannah who goes around with you in the prison? She was with you in the prison.
Oh, Hayley.
Hayley.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes. And she said, she, you know, there's a Ouija board, and again, we won't spoil it, but, you know, you're there when a thing moves and stuff. And she has an explanation for that, which, and she says, but my explanation actually sounds more rational than the fact there could be a ghost in a glass. And you go, yeah, it sort of does, yeah. But, and I know nothing of science. So it's, I mean, kind of fascinating, which is the point.
I think one of the things the experts bang their heads against is the fact that the explanations are often less interesting than a ghost. So someone tries to explain to you the physics of how you might have seen this thing coming towards you, but it's way less exciting than the idea that somebody from history came back to life.
Yeah.
So that's one of the things that the sceptics are contending against. But I think like we've had a lot of sceptics on the series, and we always kind of try and give things equal weight, so they're allowed to kind of give their suggestions of how this story might have happened.
Yeah.
But the one we've got coming up, we've got this Christmas double bill coming up. It takes place in the old Middlesex Hospital, which was just off Tottenham Court Road, now demolished, now a kind of shopping centre. And it's about a group of nurses who all see this thing together. So there's four people who see what seems to be poltergeist activity and an apparition. And this is so far the hardest one to crack.
It's... we've got to take traffic and travel because, you know, we have to. But we'll talk more afterwards. But it's what is interesting, I think, about it is that the... as you say, four people saw something, then you start getting into crowd psychology and people seeing the certain crowd hallucinations and all this sort of stuff.
Contagion theory.
Exactly. And it's fascinating stuff that's going on in our brain. Anyway, look, we've still got 10 minutes or so to solve this.
Oh, good.
So we're going to do it. Danny Robbins is with us. He's the host and creator of this new podcast, Haunted, which you'll find in the usual podcast places, Danny, I'm guessing.
That's right, yeah. All over the place.
So we'll be talking more. If you've got a ghost thing, right, if you've seen a ghost and you think, that happened, well, we might as well get in touch with us. You know, Danny's here, so it makes sense. 87222 is the number.
Start your message with the word talk.
At Talk Radio on Twitter.
Start your message with any word you like.
You can call us 03444991000. It's Talk Radio in the Afternoons. I'm John Holmes.
Talk Radio.
Join the Talk Nation.
Pick up your phone and Talk Radio.
We'll get you talking.
You can say anything to a mate. Anything. Call them every name under the sun. Wind them up. Bring them down a peg. Tell them stuff you never thought you'd tell anyone. Because they're proper mates. Like brothers. When it's a mate, you say what you feel like saying. Except, I love you, man. And I'm not going to let you drink drive. Stupid, innit? Mates don't let mates drink drive. Think.
Fleet managers. Maybe you don't use fleet tracking because maybe your fleet seems safe and secure. Maybe your fuel costs seem okay. Maybe your drivers manage just fine without it. Maybe it's time to stop running your business on maybes. Fleetmatic's fleet tracking solutions can help you reduce your costs, serve more customers, and improve the safety of your employees' driving habits anytime, anywhere. Maybe that's worth a call. Text the word fleet to 66777 or visit fleetmatics.co.uk. Fleetmatics, a Verizon company.
Hello, I'm Ian McKellen. I want you to join me in supporting Crisis this Christmas. Times are tough. While we are safe and warm inside, thousands of homeless people will be sleeping on the freezing streets. For just £26 at 8p, you can reserve a place for someone at Crisis at Christmas. You'll give them food, clothes and safety, and the chance to move off the streets for good. So please go to crisis.org.uk and give £26 at 8p to bring someone in from the cold. Thank you.
When your growing business is hiring, you don't need lots of candidates. You need the right candidates, fast. You need Indeed.com, featuring an algorithm that positions your job posts where quality candidates are and screener questions that zero in on the best talent. Post your next job on Indeed, the UK's number one job site. For a limited time, we're giving new users a £50 credit to post a sponsored job. Claim your £50 credit at Indeed.com/redeem. That's Indeed.com/redeem. Terms, conditions and quality standards apply. The UK's number one job site, according to Comscore.
Talk Radio, traffic and travel.
In Essex, on the M25, anti-clockwise, it's queuing still between junction 28 for the Brook Street roundabout and 26 for Waltham Abbey because of emergency repairs, and two of the four lanes are closed. It's taking around half an hour to get through at the moment. In Somerset, on the M5, it's very slow southbound between junction 19 for Portishead and 21 for Weston-super-Mare after an accident earlier. And in the West Midlands, on the M6 northbound, it's slow between junction 7 for Great Barr and junction 9 for Wensbury. That's because of an accident earlier as well. I'm Katie Tyler.
Show your car keys to the bar staff this Christmas and get a free extra Coca-Cola Classic, Coca-Cola Zero Sugar or Diet Coke. Because if you're the designated driver, when you buy a Coke, you can have another one on us as a thank you. For details, see coca-cola.co.uk/designated driver. Participating venues only. Have a happy and safe Christmas. Coca-Cola. Supporting Think. Don't drink and drive.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
It is Talk Radio. I am John Holmes. Breaking news we can bring you now. The TV presenter Keith Chegwin has died aged 60. More details of that. We think it was a long battle with a lung condition. That's the word we're getting. But the news there, Keith Chegwin died. More on it with Toby in the news at 2:30. And Danny Robbins is with us. Because he's very good. So, look, we're talking about ghosts because you've got this podcast Haunted where you have been going around talking to people with contemporary stories, which is what we were saying. How many, you said you got a lot of stuff from people. Roughly how many people responded to this? Because it's a huge, people just are so interested in it.
Yeah, a lot, really, and from all over the place. I've had emails from, like, Bangladesh and, loads from America now. It's clearly tapped a nerve. I think what we are trying to offer is a safe space for people to tell their stories. Because I think one of the biggest barriers for people is often the idea that they'll be laughed at or judged, even considered mad. So I think it's really nice to kind of feel like we're getting equal contact from skeptics and believers, and it's not putting either camp off, because they're two kind of like real gangs, these two, it's amazing the anger it generates amongst skeptics that people do believe in ghosts.
It does, and that's, I suppose, it's because of the science angle, isn't it? It's because, look, we've had 500 years of hunting for ghosts and more than that, and reports go back as far as the Greeks and the Romans and all this kind of stuff, mm-hmm. and Julius Caesar and all that sort of stuff, and yet here we are, but there's been no proof, despite people saying, here's a film of a ghost I've made, here's a video. No, it's just a bit of light in the corner of the lens. People say they photograph ghosts, but none have ever convinced, and there's never been any evidence, like UFOs.
Yeah, it's really interesting, but also one of the sort of counter arguments that people always give, believers give, is that the reports are very consistent. If you look back at reports throughout history, people describe the same kind of things. When they talk about a poltergeist happening, they talk about the same kind of things. And one argument for that would be that's because that is how it happens, and the other argument would be that's because some people have told it and the story is passed down. I don't know. But isn't that, I guess, what excites us, this idea that it's so. the hunt for proof and that maybe the answer is out there?
It is. I know friends who've spoken of things that have happened that they've not been able to explain, but then you do look for explanations. I mean, there was that whole one some years ago now, which I sort of subscribe to as a theory for some of these apparition things, which is that whole frequency generation.
Okay.
There was an experiment done, I think it was in Coventry, in a factory whereby the workers hated doing the overnight shift because they'd see figures moving out the corner of their eyes and stuff, and it was a really weird atmosphere, really felt nasty. No one could put their finger on it. They called in a team of investigators who traced an air conditioning unit in the basement of the building, which was on at night in a certain way, and the frequency that it was blowing air through the building at was enough to vibrate the human eyeball. It was exactly the right frequency to vibrate, and that caused hallucination.
This is infrasound you're talking about. And apparently it can create misting on your eyeballs. It can give you a sense that there's a kind of a fog in front of you,
and create a weird feeling of unease.
I think even make you hallucinate. It's fascinating. And the other thing is, so many ghosts are seen at night, and then you get into the whole territory of sleep paralysis, which is, I don't know if any of your listeners have had had that. I've had that. It's terrifying, you know. When
this
you
is
wake
when you're
up,
awake, but you can't, and think something's on you, and all this.
Yeah, exactly. You're kind of stuck in this half wake, half sleep mode.
Yeah.
And your sleeping mind, the dream mind, is still playing out. So you're seeing things in the room, and you can't even really raise your head. It's like your body's totally numb. And back in medieval times, people called this witch riding or hag riding. They had this vision of an old lady sitting on your chest, you know, forcing your breath out.
And yeah.
Very, very weird stuff.
But in this day and age, then, talking to these people as you have been doing, do you, and you're there, as you say, getting both sides of the story. Mm. But it seems to me the ones I've heard certainly do all seem to have what I would consider to be a rational explanation. You know, it start, you know, it does as it would quite well. It starts off with their story, and you think, oh, how's there an explanation for that? And then suddenly you start going, oh, I suppose that could have happened. I mean, I'm still at a bit of a loss. I think you glossed over it a bit actually in the first one, where the lid flew across the room.
Yeah.
Now, if I am to believe she saw a lid fly across the room, and I've no reason not to believe her, I'd still not have an explanation for how the lid flew across the room. I can believe all the other stuff around it of going sort of, well, you know, there was a. You were talking about this—the woman's mother who didn't want her to move out, and you know, all the—and so she could have been working on the husband in a sort of unconscious way, of saying, "Oh, you shouldn't be in that house." This sort of stuff. But a lid flew across a room, Danny.
I know, and I love that. I never want to give a definitive "it did not happen" thing. I think the mystery is great. I think what we have of every ghost story is we only have the teller to rely on, don't we? And so the teller has evolved a story to some extent. You know, all of us, when we've got a story that's happened to us, we do embellish a little bit. Subconsciously, we do that.
Yeah.
And what you want to do with a ghost story is you want to convey to the audience the fear you felt. So you work out the most frightening way to tell it.
Yeah.
And with things flying across the room, short of having video footage of this happening, and even that these days you could mistrust with invisible wires and all sorts, but short of having that, we cannot know that that happened.
No.
We can know that somebody looked away and it felt like the object had moved. But, you know, we
and
cannot
also,
prove
on,
it moves.
We're on it when there's a thing of being about being on high alert in a place that's supposed to be haunted.
I mean,
for a newspaper some years ago, I went to stay in a castle in Scotland that was supposed to be, you know, haunted. I went on Halloween and all that kind of stuff. And I was on my own as well. There wasn't a, you know, it wasn't like a group or anything. And it was it's a hotel. It's only got about four or five rooms in the towers. And the caretaker, if you like, the guy just leaves at night and gives you the key and locks you in.
So it's all set up for you. The theatrics are there.
But do you know what I mean? That's the point. And of course, every little noise that would otherwise be normal was heightened in my mind to a ghost stalking the corridors of this ancient 12th century castle in Scotland because of the psychological reasoning behind why I was there. So you've got to bring all that into play.
Well, and when you do probe the science and you learn things like that our body gets cold when we're scared because it's the heart pumping the blood away from our extremities to protect our vital organs, and that our hairs stand up on our neck because it's trying to insulate us, you realise it's the body, these ancient ways the body has evolved since the days when we were running away from lions and hiding in caves.
Yeah.
And so a lot of the things that we associate with seeing a ghost are actually physiological things that happen to us because of fear. So fear is this incredibly powerful thing that's kept us alive.
We have nothing to fear but fear itself. Is there anything... I mean, you touched on the sort of four nurses of the apocalypse.
Yes.
they're seeing...
That's
something.
My episode title there.
Yeah, there you go. You can have that. Seeing something together.
Yeah.
But is there anything that you've heard or not even investigated yet that's made you... that's really leapt out and gone, okay, this is a really odd one?
I think, yeah. I mean, the guy whose mum went down every single day and saw an old lady in their kitchen.
Yes, we just heard the clip.
Yeah, that weird kind of regularity and mundanity of that she'd walk into their kitchen, an old lady would be in there, say hello, and then the old lady would disappear. And with that kind of story, you get down to, you know, either she's lying or she's mad or there's a ghost. And when you talk to the person and you trust them and you don't think they're lying or mad,
that
leaves only one option.
It does,
you know?
Doesn't it?
And I think if you were to ask me, is there a thing doing this series that has convinced me that ghosts might exist, then it's the people I'm talking to, because you look in someone's eyes and you see the genuine fear.
Yeah.
And that's very convincing.
And it's also, though, then you have to say, all right, so they believe it. We'll accept that.
Mm.
As you say, they're the only witness we have. But then you have to argue that there's a rational explanation. But sometimes there isn't one. But that might be because science hasn't caught up yet. That's the other argument, isn't it, that you hear from people going, OK, well, if a thing did move... Because poltergeist activity, there's the whole theory about it being hormonal energy. It often centres around teenage girls, in historical cases anyway. You know, and so there's a whole thing about, you know, we only use whatever percentage of our brains. We don't know what the rest of it can do under extreme circumstances. circumstances and when it's going through whatever change. And so that comes into play as well. It's science we don't understand yet.
Yeah, totally. And I think on that hormonal thing, I mean, it's interesting. If you're in a heightened state of emotion, you are going to be more open to seeing ghosts. So the believer would believe that those ghosts come to you at that heightened state. And the skeptic would say, well, you know, you're imagining it because of the state of mind you're in. But yeah, I mean, I think that there is an argument that science hasn't caught up. And there's also an argument that there are just things in life that we can't explain. You know, that sometimes, you know, there are mysteries and they're not necessarily fantastical mysteries. They are just weird things that will never work out. You know,
we should just enjoy them.
Yeah, like where my watch has gone. I've lost my watch at home. It's probably been hidden by my child and I can't find it. It's a mystery.
There we go. All right, Danny, thanks for coming in and talking us through that. And we'll find the podcast where?
On iTunes and all the kind of podcast
Acast apps. And all the...
And send me your ghost stories as well. Find me on social media or email haunted@panoply.fm and send me stories because I need them.
And then Danny will come and talk to you in your haunted house.
I will.
And there you go. And attempt not to put the willies up you. there you go.
Well, there you go.
Well, I was just reading that story about the woman in the metro here who said she's had sex with... she's given up going out with men, human men.
Yeah.
And now she... I'll quote, she has sex with a succession of ghosts, it says here. Since she started sleeping with ghosts, she's completely turned her back on men who are alive.
Okay.
That's the quote. I've got no interest in men now. Amethyst declared. And this is the quote I like very well. She's since split from her fiancé after he caught them together. Her and a ghost. And here's the best bit. He came home early from work one day and saw the shape of a man through the window. Yes, a man, probably. I'm just guessing. There might be a rational explanation for that.
This is timely, though, because this week on the show we have a woman who danced with a ghost to a soundtrack of Van Morrison.
My brown-eyed ghost.
And I would float 500 miles. It's wrong band, but...
Yeah, mine was better.
Quite sentiment.
You, my brown-eyed ghost, would have worked. Yeah, you could have had that. Anyway...
Don't have brown eyes, do they?
Yeah, keep out of it, Toby, till you're invited. right, Toby is with us with the news. Danny, thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you, John.
And still to come on the programme, as we were saying, Keith Chegwin has sadly died, the TV presenter. We're going to be talking about his life and career with Christopher Biggins very shortly on the programme. Toby's here, though, with the latest news at 2:30.
Talk Radio.
And we start with some breaking news. The TV presenter Keith Chegwin has died, aged 60. His family say he's been battling a progressive lung condition. Chegwin became a household name in the 70s and 80s, presenting shows like Multicoloured Swap Shop, Cheggers Plays Pop and Saturday Superstore, and more recently took part in Dancing on Ice in 2013. Three children have died and another is critically ill after a house fire in Greater Manchester. Police say they're treating the blaze in Worsley as suspicious. A suspect has been arrested after an explosion at one of New York's busiest transport terminals during the morning rush hour. Emergency services were called to the Port Authority, where it's understood a man had an explosive device strapped to himself. No one else was injured, and the president is being kept up to date with developments. Marlin Yu Sherlock was at the hub when it happened.
A whole stream of people started screaming and coming out of the subway station underneath to the main floor. There was no announcement, nothing on the PA system. I smelled nothing, heard nothing, and nobody knew what was going on.
The lead counsel for the Grenfell Tower fire inquiry says he hopes it'll bring some closure for the families affected. A procedural hearing has been told police are investigating offences, including manslaughter, after 71 people died in the block. And British-produced World War II film Dunkirk is up for the Best Drama Film Award at the Golden Globes. A number of other British actors are also in the running, including Dame Judi Dench, Gary Oldman, Jude Law and Claire Foy. The Shape of Water, which isn't out in the UK until next year, leads the nominations with 7. Your weather, wintry showers in the northwest and some sleety rain coming to the south. Otherwise, fairly clear. Top temperatures ranging from 0 to 6 Celsius in the west.
Thank you very much, Toby.
Thank you.
That was tremendous.
Thank you very much.
I wasn't listening. I literally went out there to find out what time Christopher Biggins was coming on.
Okay. But, yeah. Fine, isn't it? Did you know Keith Chegwin?
I worked with Keith Chegwin, yes.
Was he...
He was lovely, Keith Chegwin. Yeah. I can't remember the last... I worked with him on a couple of things, but I can't remember what they were. I've interviewed him for some... Oh, I know, it was a Radio 4 thing. And I interviewed him, but I don't remember what about. This is a great anecdote, isn't it?
I mean, I was hoping you were going to tell me a story that I could then use as a clip in the news.
You could use that one if you want.
It probably wasn't good enough.
Talk Radio's John Holmes worked with Keith Chegwin, and I'll just go, yeah, I think I interviewed him once, so I can't remember what it was for.
On Radio 4, yeah, on a different radio.
I think it was right, I think it was. I might be wrong. But
and I don't know what it was.
My memory of him, he was thoroughly lovely, though. A thoroughly lovely man. That's my
So memory. I use the clip and it just goes, he was thoroughly lovely though. Almost like previously you'd been saying some not such nice things.
Yeah, I would never say that. I would not speak.
He was thoroughly lovely.
I'll do a retake. You ready?
So did you ever know Keith Chegwin?
Best friend. We used to be very good friends all of the time. You know when he used to go to the houses on the Big Breakfast and knock on the door and people would answer the door in the house? I was in his pocket every single time, just keeping him company there. He was a thoroughly lovely man.
Hmm. Which pocket?
Front. Right. There. Good. I think we got that. Anyway, Keith Chegwin has very sadly died. You'll know him, of course, from many TV things. Not least that thing he did Utterly Naked. Do you remember that?
Mm.
Was that Channel 5's opening week? And it was, I think, was it Naked Jungle where Keith Chegwin...
Yeah, that was it, wasn't it?
Keith Chegwin was full frontal nudie, along with some contestants who were also full frontal nudie, playing some sort of weird game in a jungle setting. Sort of forerunner of I'm a Celebrity.
Yeah, Naked Jungle.
Yeah, that's it. I don't remember. Anyway, we'll be talking to Christopher Biggins about Keith Chegwin. He's worked with him many times, of course, on the show later on. And speaking of television, we're going to be reviewing some of it next. Sid's here as our work experience.
Sons of Scotland, let me ask you one question. Would you be willing to trade all your days for one chance, just one chance, to come back and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom?
I don't really have an opinion on that, Biggin.
Julia Hartley Brewer's always got an opinion, whether you like it or not.
Get your war face on for 3 hours of hand-to-hand debate and more combat-ready opinion than you can shake a dirty great sword at.
Julia Hartley Brewer, tomorrow morning from 10 on Talk Radio.
Can I go and wash my face?
John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
So before we look at the television, it is in common with all media, of course, at this time of year, is to send a reporter outside just to stand in the street because of weather. Now, you've probably seen it on the news, on your local news, on the news. You've got reporters. They go outside, don't they? They stand out there and just have to talk back to the presenter who's warm in the studio. They don't need to be out there. They don't need to go. They're just sent out there by the producer in order just to fill some time and to show you what the weather looks like. You could just look out of your own window. Anyway, in common with all of that and in keeping with the tradition of the media, we've sent our reporter outside. Cornelius is there. Hi, Cornelius.
Hi, John. It's really Jeff and cold.
I know it is. That's why we sent you out there, for our own amusement. Now, did you forget to take your coat as well?
Yes, that, I did.
That's right.
I forgot we were doing this.
That's right. And you also...
And then had to run set up the microphone and run outside, and now it's very cold.
Yes, and the good news, you see, is that even if you'd looked for your coat, you wouldn't have found it, because I got Dave to put it in one of the bins. So you'd have to go out there in your shirt anyway. So, now you're the reporter... because we don't have the budget for a proper one. So, in keeping with how this sort of thing happens, is we'll just go into this now. You're listening to Talk Radio in the afternoons. Our reporter Cornelius is outside looking at the weather. Cornelius, what can you tell us?
Hello, John. Yes, I'm here at outside where there are snowflakes absolutely everywhere, John. It's caused travel, chaos, and other words.
Good. And can you be more specific, please, in the sort of style of a reporter who's being asked really to pad when there's nothing to talk about?
Trains are closed, schools are closed, roads are closed. John, there's very little left open across the UK today, as there's been a snow genocide. Snow is everywhere.
I mean, could you be more specific?
Well, yes, John. Obviously, with the snow brings snowflakes, and they're all out here, John, having lots of fun, obviously, because they're taking the day off not going to university.
Yeah.
There's some here. I'm having lots of fun. Some building snow gender neutrals, and others are sledging because they love just insulting cricketers.
Right. They do know, of course, that playing in the snow and using snow is a cultural appropriation of Eskimos, if we can indeed still talk in those terms.
I think you're looking for the term Inuit there, John. No, they seem to be...
Sorry, hang on, sorry, I'll beg your pardon. I'll do another take of that. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Are we rolling?
We're live now.
Okay, here we go.
And 3, 2...
So I think the right term is Inuit. And what are these Inuits out there that you can see doing? Are they appropriating the culture of Eskimos?
Well, they were hoping to build snow gender neutrals. John. However, they didn't actually want to build them. They just were waiting around for one to be delivered on a plate to them.
Right.
Some people have built some igloos out of safe spaces.
Yeah.
Yes. There's a puppy sanctuary. They're all dead. Everyone's wrapped in blankets. Yeah. They were anyway, because they're all being mollycoddled.
Could you talk to us a little bit about, again, following the agenda of the actual news, could you talk to us a little bit about drivers trapped in cars?
No.
Okay. What else is happening out there?
Well, there's been a hashtag, John, because yeah. There always is. People very upset, all these snowflakes. Hashtag wintry pictures so white is trending. People aren't happy, John.
No. And in terms of what the advice is for people who might be trapped in the blizzard?
Yes, the advice is to not be trapped in the blizzard.
That's great. Thank you very much indeed, Cornelius. There, Cornelius reporting for us live from the weather, which, of course, is taking up much of the news agenda today. And we're just following that, obviously, because, you know, talk radio, isn't it? Talk radio in the afternoons. We'll be back with television reviews from our work experience, because we don't have to pay them, next after this traffic and travel break.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
A new kind of talk radio. We'll get you talking.
Merry Christmas, Sarah.
You got me some shoes. No, it's a coat. Cashmere scarf. A laptop. Oh, some perfume.
The One For All gift card from the post office can be any of these things. With over 50,000 retail outlets to choose from, it's the ideal gift for that impossible-to-buy-for friend.
It's not a TV, is it?
Pick one up in branch or online at postoffice.co.uk. The One For All gift card is issued by GVS Prepaid Limited. GVS Prepaid Limited is authorised by the Financial Conduct Authority.
You are currently on the naughty list. Know why? Because you've lost your Christmas spirit. But with every delicious bite of Subway's new deluxe feast, the festive season becomes that little bit better. Until you're transformed into a prancing, dancing, tinsel-infused elf. That's the magic of butter, marinated turkey breast, crispy bacon and cranberry sauce. That's the magic of Subway. Subway, keep discovering. Terms and conditions apply. Participation may vary. See in store for details.
Oh, nice paper. Snowmen. Oh, you've wrapped it well.
No way! I have wanted this fitness tracker for ages. How did you know?
Surprise them with something thoughtful this Christmas. Free delivery on over 10 million new items. From the sharpest fashion to the techiest tech. eBay. Fill your cart with colour.
Everyone likes to get a broadband deal, but who's got time to go searching for them? At BT, we do the hard work for our broadband customers by offering them personalised deals. So now getting the right deal takes no time at all. If you're our broadband customer, you can find your personalised deal at bt.com/mydeal. It's ready and waiting for you.
Talk Radio, traffic and travel.
In Essex on the M25, anti-clockwise, it remains very slow between junction 28 for the Brook Street roundabout and 26 for Waltham Abbey because of emergency repairs. Two of the four lanes remain closed and it's still taking around half an hour to get through those queues. In Somerset on the M5, it's very slow southbound between junction 19 for Portishead and 21 for Western Supermare after an accident earlier. And in the West Midlands on the M6 northbound, it's slow between junction 7 for Great Bar and junction 9 for Wensbury because of an accident earlier as well. I'm Katie Tyler.
Show your car keys to the bar staff this Christmas and get a free extra Coca-Cola Classic, Coca-Cola Zero Sugar or Diet Coke. Because if you're the designated driver, when you buy a Coke, you can have another one on us as a thank you. For details, see coca-cola.co.uk/designated driver. Participating venues only. Have a happy and safe Christmas. Coca-Cola. Supporting Think. Don't drink and drive.
As you can see, it's a well-appointed pied-à-terre, ideally suited to a young couple, charmingly unfussy decor throughout, a stone's throw from the lively cosmopolitan nightlife scene with close proximity to local transport links.
Does it come with a roof?
No. It's what we call a fixer-upper.
Whether you're looking to own, rent, primp or pimp a pad, make sure you listen to Home Rule with Martin Roberts. He's the property professor who's slapping on his bricks and mortar board to give you expert advice on achieving your dream home. Home Rule with Martin Roberts. Pick up the keys this Saturday morning from 11 on Talk Radio. Across the UK, online and on DAB.
John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
So there's a lot going on this afternoon. The mayor of New York is currently speaking. He is saying, we knew anyway, that there was a terror attack attempt in Manhattan. This is the corner of 42nd Street and 8th Avenue. We know that there are, fortunately, no injuries, no life-threatening injuries. The suspect has been arrested and I think was injured in it. But that's what we are hearing. We don't have the full details, but of course, as they come out, we will let you know here on Talk Radio. And there is a lot of snow about. You're just hearing there a very detailed report of what was going on outside to do with the snow. In common with all media, Keith Chegwin has sadly died. There's a lot going on in the news, and it's all quite complicated. It's all quite complicated, isn't it?
Yeah, I can't get Cornelius's head around it.
No, that's because he's on the telephone out there trying to sort a guest out to talk about Keith Chegwin. But that's a little look behind the scenes for you. But anyway, it doesn't matter, because we're here to help. And the way we analyse the news around these parts is, of course, using Japanese poetry. It's all about the syllables. 575, it's the news in haikus.
Disgraced PR man, Matt Clifford dies after Cho King on a hamster.
The news in haikus. So, to our work experience, Sid is in. Now, it's Sid's first day in the entire building, right, Sid?
Yep.
So, you arrived this morning,
mm-hmm.
and you were expecting to do what?
Just make some tea and sit in the corner.
Yeah. And instead, here you are on national radio.
Yeah. Well, yeah. That's proper work placement, isn't it?
This is exactly the point, Sid. This is what we do it for. So, we always say to the work experience, come and have real work experience. I mean, yes, the photocopying and the tea, yes, but also actual work experience. And we tell you, as you've been told, that it's a leg up into the industry.
Yeah.
And it's a good thing. That's a lie. Obviously, it's because you're free. We don't have to pay you.
Yeah.
And you're just sitting there.
Yeah.
So you might as well review the television scene. So let's start with the first one. What have you got for? What are you going to talk about first?
So Peaky Blinders. Have you been watching it?
No.
Right. Well, it's season 4, and we're in the thick of it now.
Yep.
Those of you who don't know about Peaky Blinders, it follows a gang in the 1920s
yep.
from Birmingham. And season 4's gone a bit A-list, so now we've got people like Tom Hardy, Adrian Brody and Cillian Murphy are all in the show.
Yep.
And so this season so far has been extremely violent. It's had reviews which say maybe it's gone too far,
mm-hmm.
so we're seeing a lot more blood. And basically we've got the TV crime of dodgy accents coming back and again and again and again. So you've got very poor Italian-American accents, but apart from that, it's been top-notch. So last week we saw it come to a kind of a bloody end.
No spoilers here, Sid. Just to be careful.
Don't worry. All right. There's no spoilers.
Good.
But we saw a big shift where we saw certain family feuds. Obviously, it's Christmas, so, you know, topical family feuds.
Yep.
And now we are setting up for our big finale where we see Tom Hardy finally return as Alfie Solomon. So you can catch that Wednesday, 9 p.m. on BBC Two.
All right. So I didn't watch Peaky Blinders when it first came. I sort of started to watch the first series, but I lost my way a bit, so I just sort of stopped. But is it something I should get back into? It's one of those things that...
Absolutely.
Because I couldn't quite get into it at first.
Really?
Is that fair to say?
Oh, see, I thought it was one of those which is hooksy. You got to stay with it, though. It becomes so good. It began really as like an underground cult kind of thing, but now it's blown up massively. And so you've got A-list stars like Adrian Brody, Aidan Gillen's in this series, Tom Hardy returns, Cillian Murphy's still in there. It's cinematic, it's brilliant.
All right.
It really is.
I'm going to cut you slightly short, because speaking of television as we are, stay with us, Sid, obviously, but speaking of television as we are, the news today that Keith Chegwin, the TV presenter Keith Chegwin, has sadly died at the age of 60. Cheryl Baker, who you will know, of course, was on, as well as worked with him more than once, was on Famous and Frightened with him, and of course Bucks Fizz, Cheryl Baker, were on Chegger's Plays Pop.
Oh, many times.
Yeah.
We did Checkers so many times. Keith and I were two kind of so-called celebs that crossed, our paths crossed all the time. And as you say, we did Famous and Frightened, which was hilarious. He was such a lovely, lovely man, and it's such a shock because he's so young.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. 60 is nothing, is it? That's a slightly disconcerting.
Well, I'm 63, so 60 is just a mere whippersnapper to me. It's true. It's, you know, we're all living longer, and you don't die of old age at 60. And apparently he had a long-term lung condition, which I wasn't aware of.
Yeah.
And it's just, he was just a really lovely, happy, positive person, you know, who, you know, you knew that if you were in his company, you were going to have a great time.
Yeah, I mean, I met him on a couple of occasions through work and stuff, and I agree with you. I think, you know, he was a very, very warm, very kind of open, very honest, and just would kind of befriend, felt like your friend, even though you were meeting him for the first time, didn't he?
Exactly that. You just hit the nail on the head. You did. You feel like you've known him forever, even though you've only just met him. So that was a quality that Keith had that, you know, a lot of people would love to have. It's terribly, terribly sad news.
Yeah.
I've literally found out about 5 minutes ago.
Yeah, I hope we didn't break the news to you. His legacy, though, as well, for television. I mean, certainly, you're growing up my age, you know, it was on, obviously, Swap Shop. With Noel Edmonds and so forth back then, and he started that sort of TV presenting career, but sort of owned it, didn't he? Really well at the time, and he was you know, became a big star very quickly.
He was a brilliant television presenter. He was on the ball, you know. He was really, he knew his stuff, knew his gig, but he was very funny, and he was a good interviewer, always mucked in with everybody, you know. He was. But there are certain television presenters, stroke actors, because he started, I think, in acting, didn't he?
Yeah, I think so.
And he even had a single out, didn't he? Want to be a winner or
yes,
something?
That's exactly.
You know, all these things, and he did some crazy stuff. He did the crazy thing on I can't remember which channel it was, where he was naked and
yeah, Channel know, 5, admitted, Cheryl,
admitted
Channel 5.
That he'd been an alcoholic, etc. But he was very open, very honest, and really good at his job.
That was interesting, the alcoholism. He spoke very eloquently about later, didn't he? And again, he was very honest about that. Because it was a big tabloid story at the time that he was an alcoholic. And he'd, you know, I remember him talking about, watching interviews with him, talking about hiding drink in hedges.
That's right. I remember him saying, in the toilet system, in the backs of cupboards.
That's right.
Hiding. But I think it's very cleansing to be able to talk about it like that. And I think that it helped him to overcome the alcoholism. I think it was a big bonus for him to be able to talk openly, and it probably helped an awful lot of guys and girls out there that were suffering the same as him.
Yeah, I think that's right. And he was perhaps one of the first celebrities, if you like, to be open about that kind of thing. Because as we've seen recently, you know, the recent series of I'm a Celebrity, Ian Lee, our very own Ian Lee from this station, has got, you know, pretty highly regarded for being honest about mental illness and so forth.
Yeah.
And I think Keith Chegwin is one of the first people to come out and just sort of show us that actually, you know, people are human, really, deep down. Everyone's
even,
human.
Even, inverted commas, celebrities. Yeah, we're all human. We don't wake up with makeup on our face. We're all not, you know, we're not all perfect. And he was just one of the good guys, and it's such a shame that he's gone so early.
Cheryl, listen, thanks very much for joining us. Cheryl Baker there, of course, Bucks Fizz, played Cheggers, played Spot many times, as she said. And the sad news that Keith Chegwin, TV presenter Keith Chegwin, has died aged 60. We'll be talking later to Christopher Biggins as well on the show about when he used to work with him. Fitting that we are talking about his TV career there in the TV review, because Sid, our work experience is... It's all going on, Sid, isn't it? I mean, be honest, first day in the office, first day in the entire building, and already you've had to deal with a terror attack in New York, the death of a celebrity, and a reporter talking about nothing in the snow. I mean, it's kind of... What a first day. You don't get that on many work experience
exactly,
first days.
It's memorable.
Yeah.
It's memorable.
Does not necessarily for the right reasons. all right, well, look, we talked about Peaky Blinders. We've got time to squash one more in, so where do you want to... We might as well talk about I'm a Celebrity. That would be the logical thing to do, wouldn't it? So go on then.
So I'm a Celebrity. Now, everyone's been watching this. So last night, Toft won. So... Big news there. Third female winner in a row.
I don't know, right, because I've been watching... I've never seen it before this time, because I watched it because Ian was in and stuff, you know. He's a mate, and, you know, from round here and all that stuff. And I've... So I've been watching it, not live, just on, you know, fast forward over the boring bits kind of stuff. But I've just realised I don't know what Toff's actual name is. What is her name?
It's just Georgia. Georgia Toffolo.
Thank you very much. There you go. I didn't know that. I just realised that I didn't. But she got crowned Queen of the Jungle. You're right.
Yep. Third female winner in a row. Apparently that's a £5 million payment she's going to get as a result of that. She's going to earn $5 million.
Yeah, out of resulting work.
Oh, I see.
Not as like a prize.
Well, she won't be coming to work here then, will she?
she was the least. The papers are reporting that she was the least paid celebrity to go on that show.
I read that her and Jack Maynard or whatever that is.
Only got $13,000 for it.
$13,000.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I get that for a show here.
Yeah, I know. Why is she going to do that? And you have to work with bigger cockroaches than, than she did. So, there's a lot of them here. I can name them now if you want.
No.
Okay, I'll move on. All right, so, I mean, did you watch it, Sid? Were you watching it?
No, I watched the final. I think possibly a highlight or low light, depending on your opinion, has to be Ian Lee maybe eating a pig's...
A pig's vagina?
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, have we got a clip of that? Yeah, here's a sentence I never thought I'd say. Here's Ian Lee eating a pig's vagina.
Right, okay, we're going for it. In one, in two, here we go.
Wow.
Oh, dirty pig, that is horrible. Do people eat this?
Well, it's bush tucker. If you were lost in the bush, you could survive.
Cut off a pig's fanny and eat it. Am I quite?
Well, you eat the rest of the pig, and then that's left. You can also eat that. What does it taste like?
It tastes exactly like what it is, mate. Like meat jelly. Meat jelly. Jesus.
Oh God.
I'm not chewing. I'm just thinking of all my career choices that have left me here eating this. In a moment. Look into my empty mouth, Anton Deck.
There it is.
Did it!
One of those career choices being this. interesting they're calling it a bush tucker trial as well, even given that what he was
John.
Eating. What?
And he didn't even win.
No.
After eating it, he didn't even win.
I thought, you know, watching it last night, actually, I thought that he... Toff's trial was the hardest one last night by a long way. I thought. I mean, I know...
Oh, it looked tough.
It
yeah.
was awful. I mean, a thing full of snakes.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, all you can do is judge it by what you'd be willing to do on that programme, I think. And you sort of go, yes, I wouldn't mind. I could lie in there with snakes. It wouldn't bother me, snakes. I could also eat all that stuff that Ian ate, you know, because
really?
it's just eating stuff. It tastes horrible, but it's not going to kill you. And it tastes horrible. But standing in a Perspex box with all that stuff over me...
Especially the green ants. Apparently, it's really painful.
Bitey.
And they were first as well.
I mean, so...
And all over her face.
Those spiders on
her face. Yeah.
No.
Oh, yeah, you would have hated that.
I would have hated that. I wouldn't have done it. So fair play to her. I think that's a good win. I turned it down.
Not turn it down.
But earlier on in the year... I mean, 10 years ago. Yeah. Before it was a thing. So well done to them all, frankly. But no. Anyway, look, we're out of time, Sid. So look, work experience. That's your first day.
Hello.
First day.
Exactly.
How was it?
It's an honour. It's shocking, but it's really fun.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting it.
Yeah, now you sound like I'm interviewing you after I'm a celebrity. This is what they all say.
Right.
Thank you.
So I'm just hearing now that, North Korea's launched a missile. So if you could get a guess for us on that, that'd be great.
Great. Thank
cheers.
You.
Cheers.
Yeah, back you go. Right, Sid there. Work experience. He's with us all week in the office, certainly. Probably, I don't know whether he's going to be doing this again, but, you know, it depends who drops out. So thank you, Sid. In the next bit, the big debate is coming at 3 o'clock. We'll be talking to Christopher Biggins about the TV presenter Keith Chegwin, who's died age 60. What's the other thing we did? Something else. What are we doing? Can you remember?
The big debate.
I said that.
Alco Vox Pops,
that's right. Drunk people canvas for their opinion on the week's news over the weekend. All on the way in the next hour. It's Talk Radio in the afternoons.
Talk Radio.
We've got entertainment and we're not afraid to use it. Talk Radio.
Had enough football ads yet?
We have, because we like to talk about what we know about at Glowworm, like the practical training for new installers and the 499 checks we do on our boilers before they leave the factory. Did I mention £30 cash back and a free 7-year warranty with every registered install from our energy boiler range on our Plumbing Toolbox app?
The Glowworm energy boiler range starts at £599 with a 7-year warranty. Find out more at glowworm.co.uk. Glowworm, easy does it. Now, back to the football lads. Terms and conditions apply. See glowworm.co.uk for more details.
It's time. Time to join the millions of people that meet happy with Zoom video conferencing. With stunning HD video, crisp audio, and instant wireless sharing across any mobile, tablet, or desktop device. But the best thing about Zoom? It just works. So ditch the distractions, join the movement, and meet happy with Zoom video conferencing. Visit zoom.us to set up your free account today. That's zoom.us. Zoom video conferencing.
Pop into TK Maxx for designer, cashmere and or sparkly gifts and you might even find a white Christmas snow globe.
A snow globe?
That's right. Find an exclusive snow globe in store or online and get actual snow delivered for free. So there you go. A white Christmas for absolutely nothing. It's just another one of TK Maxx's many big gifts at small prices.
Book launches are often hyped. Then you open the first page and... But David Icke's new book, Everything You Need to Know But Have Never Been Told, really will astonish you. Thought-provoking and controversial, it's available now, so read a real page-turner. Everything You Need to Know But Have Never Been Told, by former footballer and presenter David Icke. Available exclusively at davidicke.com.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Talk Radio. We'll get you talking. Talk Radio.
In the afternoons, hello, I'm John Holmes. It's just gone 3 o'clock. Toby's got the very latest news.
Coming up, New York explosion was terrorism. RIP Keith Chegwin and Golden Globe nominations announced.
Talk Radio.
Police in New York City say an explosion in Manhattan this morning was a terror-related incident. What's described as a low-level amateur bomb went off at one of the city's busiest transport terminals during the morning rush hour. A man's been arrested while three people are being treated for minor injuries. New York Police Commissioner James O'Neill says they're confident they've got the perpetrator.
Responding units found an injured 27-year-old male. We've identified him as Taikeed Ullah. He had burns and wounds to his body. This male was wearing an improvised, low-tech, explosive device attached to his body. He intentionally detonated that device.
TV presenter Keith Chegwin has died at the age of 60. His family says he's been battling a long-term progressive lung condition. Cheryl Baker worked with Chegwin on I'm Famous and Frightened and told John Holmes why he was such a success on screen and behind the scenes.
He was just a really lovely, happy, positive person, you know, who, you know, you knew that if you were in his company, you were going to have a great time.
Three children have died in a house fire in Manchester, which is being treated as suspicious. A three-year-old girl is in a critical condition in hospital, and the 35-year-old mother of all the children is said to be seriously ill. A 14-year-old girl was declared dead at the scene in Worsley, while an 8-year-old boy and 7-year-old girl subsequently died in hospital. A hospital trust has been put in special measures over concerns about its finances just hours after its chairman quit. Regulator NHS Improvement says it has serious concerns about the growing deficit at King's College Hospital in London. And Dame Judi Dench, Gary Oldman, Claire Foy and Jude Law are all among the British nominees in the running for acting prizes at the Golden Globes. World War II movie Dunkirk is up for the Best Drama Film Award.
Thank you very much indeed, Toby. Toby there with the news. And he will be back in around 27 minutes' time with today's edition of Bonus News. You'll have noticed that bulletin was what, two?
Well, once I've done the weather, the screen here says 2 minutes, 9 seconds.
Right, and that's not...
And I read quickly, so it'd be less than that.
Fewer. It's not enough, that, is it, to put all the news in?
Absolutely not. There's loads
more. You have to pick and choose, yeah. Mm. So to get around that, what we like to do is bring you everything else in the form of animal, vegetable or mineral news, because that's more or less everything, of course. Except for fungus. That's a complicated and long story, but I'm not explaining it now. However, at 3:30, Toby's back, animal news.
Yes.
Have you started research?
Absolutely not.
Okay. But Toby's back with it, research having been done in around 27 minutes' time, and now here he is with the weather.
Talk Radio National Weather.
Rain and snow clearing southeastern areas this afternoon. Wintry showers easing for most. Severe frost tonight. Lows -6 Celsius.
-6?
Yes.
Where?
In the centre of the UK. Slap bang in the middle. Where's that?
At Meriden.
Yeah, there.
The exact centre of the United Kingdom.
What's it called? Chillingham.
No, Chillingham's not in the centre. Meriden in Eton in Warwickshire.
Oh, well,
that's the centre of the country.
On the map that the Met Office sent me with that detail, it looked bang in the centre where it was -6.
Well, Meriden, there's a stone pillar in the centre of Meriden, village of Meriden, because it's equidistant to the sea if you go to Wales or Norfolk on either side.
Oh, okay. So that's left or right. What about north and south? Is that
I think it is. It basically evens out somewhere. It's centre of England, anyway, not including Scotland.
Oh, I see. Well, there's not a sea north of England is there?
Not, no. Anyway, so my parents live there.
Oh, do they? Mm. What, on this stone?
No, nearby, in the Neaton.
So they don't live in the centre of the country.
Not quite. Nearby.
But not there.
Picky. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Are you going to do your animal news?
Oh, I thought you were going to say, am I going to the centre of the country?
No.
Yeah, I'll go and do some animal news.
Naminals. Right now, is it Andrew again? Yeah. He's got the pre-recorded sport.
Talk Radio Sports Update.
With Selco Builders Warehouse. Hundreds of trade brands in stock. Selco's got it.
Selco is where the trade goes.
Chelsea will resume rivalries with Barcelona in the last 16 of the Champions League. The draw could have been kinder to them, but manager Antonio Conte says they have to approach the tie in the right manner.
Our reaction must be positive. As you know very well, when you are in this stage, you must be ready to face every team. In this case, you must be ready to face Barcelona.
Chelsea have home advantage for the first leg. Tottenham also have a testing matchup against the Italian champions and our season finest Juventus. Elsewhere, Manchester United will draw against Sevilla, Liverpool take on Porto and Manchester City play Basel. Europa League last 32 sees Celtic face Zenit St. Petersburg of Russia, while Arsenal are up against the Swedish side Östersunds, managed by the Englishman Graham Potter. In tonight's one game in the Championship, second place Cardiff take on Reading, that's live on TalkSport 2. That's the latest sports news powered by TalkSport.
Powered by TalkSport and powered by the mouth of Andrew Hawes from TalkSport. Right, 7 minutes past 3 o'clock, the big debate is on the way.
Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
So the message today, of course, is one of treacherous driving conditions. And to be careful, as much as Britain comes to a standstill, despite there being a fraction of the amount of snow that other countries get, while still managing to keep going as normal. If you are trying to drive anywhere, you'll need grit and determination. Literally, some grit and the determination to sit in traffic as the country bees all rubbish. I saw one driver this morning really needled at the fact that he had to sleep in his car. Saw him talking on the news. Truly the road to hell, he said. Possibly a nod there to Chris Rea, who of course had his own issues over the weekend after collapsing at one of his concert in Oxford. As we said earlier, we hope it wasn't a complete cardiological breakdown and that he's on the road to hell. Health. Driving home for Christmas, of course, was his as well, and he's said to be stable, so keeping it Christmassy there. But we know that he's doing well, and get well soon, Chris Rea. Now, on the telephone line, Henry's called in. Hello, Henry, good afternoon.
Yeah, good afternoon, John.
Good afternoon, good afternoon to you. So, Henry, you heard me say the word, earlier, there was a sentence just about a minute ago. Where I said, I saw one driver this morning on the news really needled at the fact that he had to sleep in his car.
Needled. Who even says that, though, John? It's not even a saying. It's not even a word people use, is it?
Well, it is, because I used it. Right. And I said the word I there and needled, and you have called in because why?
Well, good question, because I don't like the phrase eye of the needle.
Eye of the needle.
Eye of the needle.
So you've called in to complain and whinge about that phrase.
Yep.
Okay, what is it about that phrase that you don't like?
Well, it's just the eye of the needle. It's such a redundant part of the needle, isn't it, really? I mean, you look at some needles, sewing needles, of course, have eyes in them, but you look at, like, a knitting needle. That doesn't require an eye, does it? That gets on just fine without one.
It's got a hook.
It's got a hook, but not an eye.
Right, fine. Good point, well made, yeah. All right.
Yeah, well, thank you. That's my debate done, then.
A pine needle, for example.
A pine needle does not have an eye.
Doesn't have an eye.
A crochet needle, that's got a hook as well, not an eye.
Yeah.
Pins and needles, you can't get them in your eyes.
No. You make a good point, Henry. It's a sound argument. I mean, when I heard that you'd phoned up to moan about this, I thought you were an idiot buffoon with no point to make, and thus was going to redirect you to LBC. But actually, you've made a very good point. And stay on the line, Henry, because I want to bring Sophie in. She's heard you talking, and she's called in as well. Good afternoon, Sophie.
Hi, John.
Hi there. Now, you've heard what Henry's got to say, sorry.
I'm called Henry.
Thank you.
Sophie.
Thank you, sorry, Henry.
Get my name right. Get my name
Henry.
Right.
Hiya, Sophie. You're right.
And he doesn't like the notion of an eye of a needle, thinks it's a redundant part of a needle. Other needles don't have this so-called eye. Why do we call it an eye? Why can't we just call it a hole? Do we need it at all, Sophie?
Well, I think, of course we do. I mean, it would be very unfair to blind the needles just because people like Henry don't think that they should exist.
Yeah, well, that's a...
Well, my argument is they should be blinded. And
well,
with
pretty unethical,
needles,
isn't it, Henry?
Blind them with needles. Just put needles right in the eyes and just pop the eyes.
Of the needle?
Of the needle.
To be clear, would the needle that you put into the eye of the other needle, in order to blind that eye of the original needle, have an eye in it itself or not?
What do you think? Like, I'm clearly against them. So, no.
Well, that would just be a pin, then, wouldn't it, Henry?
Ah.
No, not necessarily. Not necessarily.
No, it is serially, because if you hear what Sophie's saying, she is rightly saying, actually, Henry, that a needle without an eye is a pin.
Exactly.
No, because I do this thing, right? When I get needles with eyes on them, I cut them off with a pair of scissors, right? A pair of scissors, snip the top of the eye of the needle bit off, and they're still needles. It still says on the package, needles.
Well, yeah, but okay. Well, all right, look, let's talk about the dangers here, both callers, because you've got to let's talk about the problem of people who are addicted to cotton. These are cotton addicts, aren't they? And they inject cotton, don't they, with using a needle into fabric, right? And then what do we see in parks? Children go to play in parks, don't they? And then you go to a park these days, there's all sewing kits lying around on the floor. Children are playing amongst these sewing needles, aren't they? And that's not right, Sophie.
No, it's a disgrace, Sean. Absolutely.
Well, so what do we do about it?
Well, I think we should put the children to work, frankly. I mean, if we gave people a needle and taught them how to use it, we'd have an awful lot more T-shirts for sale.
So you're talking about exploitation in sweatshops?
No, I'm talking about a very productive workforce.
Yeah.
I mean, that is a logical solution to having eyes in needles, I think, exploiting children. They go hand in hand, don't they?
Well, let's look at this. If you were to replace, let's say you replaced it with...
Sorry, am I being a bit too illogical for you, John? Sorry.
No. I've got a lot of points to get through, and I don't want to talk to you for very long. If you got a needle, the eye of a needle, would you be happy, Henry, if we replaced the eye of a needle with another eye, say the eye of the tiger?
Have you got a clip of that song that you're going to play?
No.
Well, I'm surprised. No, I wouldn't be happy because it is an eye, and I don't like my own eyes, John. I don't like any eye at all. I don't like it when Geordies say, "Way I man" or "Way I pet."
Yeah.
I don't like people referring to themselves as I. I prefer they say one. I mean, I know I've done it a few times in this conversation.
You've done
I'm going to start.
Times,
yeah. I'm going to start calling myself one now just to be consistent.
Okay. Would you, Sophie, let me ask you this question. I mean, the government have said 40,000, this is the figure that we got from the budget, of course, 40,000 more eyes of needles by 2018. Is that enough? Are the government doing enough, Sophie, in your opinion?
No, not at all. They far more are needed, obviously. Obviously.
Why?
What do you mean, why?
I don't know what I mean by why.
I mean, what are we going to do with all the camels?
There's a point. It is easier, is it not, to get a camel through the eye of a needle than
for... it is to get a rich person into Primark.
Yeah, exactly. That's the saying. So what are you proposing here? Because the what are you going to put through... What are you going to put a camel through that's easier than a rich person going into Primark if there aren't any needles? What are you going to put...
Henry.
Answer that. Sophie's right. Henry, answer the question. Simple question. What will you put a camel through?
Well, let's meet in the middle here with both these arguments. Let's put a camel through the front door of a Primark.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah. That's not... that's... And it would run amok?
It would.
And that is acceptable, Henry?
Yeah, sure thing. I mean, the camel will come across a whole range of stylish...
Could you... All right, Yeah, but you'd have to alter... Well, here's how you do it, right? Because I posit that if you put a camel in Primark, very few of the clothes would fit due to the humps. Right? Well, hang on a minute. I'm body-shaming camels. I've walked past a Primark before, and I've seen some people in there with humps, to be fair. Right? But only one.
You're talking about women, John. You're talking about women.
No, no, no.
That's very sexist to say.
No, just people. They were non-specific genders. But what I'm saying is a camel would... It is easier to put a camel through the eye of a needle, ironically, than to squash it into a top from Primark, I think.
Mm-hmm. Do you think?
Not very often.
Oh, I concur.
Yeah. Well, look, what if we taught a camel to sew? Because you've heard of a sewing bee, but that's bees that are trained to sew, isn't it? Right? Mm-hmm. Could you have a sewing camel? Would you happily?
What was the original argument here, John? I've forgotten the topic.
I don't know. Oh, it's the eyes of needles. That's right.
Yeah.
Here's a fact. Here's a statistic for you. Anyone can buy a sewing kit over the counter, no background checks. So is that right? Is that right, Sophie? Is that a situation? Should we be checking who can buy sewing kits, needles included, with or without eyes?
Yes, I mean obviously we shouldn't let people like Henry loose with these things.
Well, we want to know what happens. Eyes on them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, what are you going to block the eye with? You've said blinding it. What if you just blocked it with a patch, like it were a sort of spiky
like a pirate?
Yeah.
Yeah, it could do. Or you could, like, fill it in with a bit of blue tack. Or, yeah. Like I said before, if you were listening, John, I'd cut it off with a pair of scissors, man.
What would you do with them then? Then you'd just have a series of eyes separate to their...
Needles.
I smelt them down. Smelt down these eyes, and I make eyeless needles with them.
That doesn't sound very eco-friendly.
What do you mean? It's recycling. It's very eco-friendly. There's too many eyes of needles loosely just being thrown into the sea, isn't there? And you hear about these dolphins that are choking to death on eyes of needles.
Yeah, fish getting stuck in the eye.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No,
not
that's,
camels, though.
That's No, they get stuck in the toes.
Listen, without the eyes of needles, what sort of descriptive term could you use to describe the consistency of your things that happen if you have a dicky tummy?
Or the opposite of that.
You could say, I don't know.
No. Well, that's it. You've lost the argument, really, Henry, if I'm honest with you. You called up with your point of view about trying to ban the eye of a needle. You haven't made any sense.
Stupid.
If I'm honest. I mean, what an idiot. Calling up a radio station. I'm going all James O'Brien on him now. What an idiot. Calling up a radio station. You've got no real coherent argument about... banning the eye of a needle. Let's sum up the debate for me in one word, please, Sophie.
Camel.
Thank you, Henry.
Toe.
Lovely. Oh, thanks very much. And there we have it. What do you think? Do we need needles and indeed the eyes of them anymore? I mean, hurricanes have eyes. Should we replace the eye of a needle with the eye of a hurricane or the eye of a tiger? Let me know what you think. 87222.
Start your message with the word.
At Talk Radio on Twitter.
Start your message with any word you'd like.
I'm John Holmes, and confusingly, that is the big debate.
Talk Radio. Digital debate for the UK.
Talk Radio.
We'll get you talking. Get ready to feel flush with success on The James Whale Show. Tomorrow night from 7 on Talk Radio with Pimlico Plumbers. James will be joined by another man who's never short of an opinion, Pimlico Plumbers flamboyant CEO and founder, Charlie Mullins, for an in-depth look at the current challenges facing small business owners and entrepreneurs. Don't miss Flush with Success. Tomorrow night from 7 on The James Whale Show on Talk Radio with Pimlico Plumbers. More than just plumbers.
Hello, I'm Ian McKellen. I want you to join me in supporting crisis this Christmas. Times are tough. While we are safe and warm inside, thousands of homeless people will be sleeping on the freezing streets. For just £26 at 8p, you can reserve a place for someone at crisis at Christmas. You'll give them food, clothes and safety, and the chance to move off the streets for good. So please go to crisis.org.uk and give £26 at 8p to bring someone in from the cold. Thank you.
Everyone likes to get a broadband deal, but who's got time to go searching for them? At BT, we do the hard work for our broadband customers by offering them personalised deals. So now getting the right deal takes no time at all. If you're our broadband customer, you can find your personalised deal at bt.com/mydeal. It's ready and waiting for you.
Back in the day, a tackle was a tackle. And diving was something you did down the bath. Shorts were short, and there wasn't a man bun or Alice band in sight. But then again, back in the day, you couldn't have a flutter on your phone. Sign up to Betfred and get £30 in free bets when you stake a tenner. Result. So, whenever you bet, Betfred. Selected bets, new customers only, 18 plus, T's and C's apply. Please bet responsibly. BeGambleAware.org. Visit betfred.com/promotions for more information.
Talk Radio, traffic and travel.
Well, in Lancashire, we have one lane closed due to an earlier lorry fire on the M6. That's northbound between junction 32 and junction 33 for Lancaster South. Elsewhere in Shropshire, one lane closed and heavy traffic due to an accident with a car involved. It's on the M54 westbound between junction 5 and junction 6 for Telford West. And in Warwickshire, we have one lane closed and slow traffic due to a broken down vehicle on the M42. That's southbound between junction 9 for Curdworth and junction 8 for the M6. I'm Sammy Jolo.
Oh, nice paper, snowmen. Oh, you've wrapped it well.
No way! I have wanted this fitness tracker for ages. How did you know?
Surprise them with something thoughtful this Christmas. Free delivery on over 10 million new items, from the sharpest fashion to the techiest tech. eBay, fill your cart with colour.
John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Good afternoon, you're listening to Talk Radio. I am John Holmes. It's 21 minutes past 3 o'clock, still to come. Sam Delaney with you from 4 o'clock, of course. Much going on today, not least the sad news of the death of Keith Chegwin, who has sadly died at the age of 60. We're going to be hopefully talking to some people who work with him throughout the rest of the afternoon as we go along. We were going to be playing a game of band or Eskimo word for snow, which we might still be doing. But we are going to be talking to drunk people about the week's news. That is definitely something that's going to be happening because it's already happened. At the weekend, we go out and about and we find drunk people falling out of pubs and clubs and bars, and we ask them questions about the week's news. Yeah, it's like Vox Pops, isn't it? It's like Vox Pops. You hear them all the time on the radio. But what if the people you're asking the questions about the news of are, well, drunk? That's the question. And these are the questions we ask the drunk people in Alco Vox Pops. Excuse me, can I just ask you some quick questions for the radio, the purposes of radio, please? There's been a breakthrough in Brexit talks. How are you celebrating tonight?
Getting frickin' drunk.
Oh, I don't know. We'll watch the news and be excited about it.
Well, all my mates have gone home, apart from the ones that haven't gone home.
Jaeger bombs. And a night in Wetherspoons.
Same as him, in Wetherspoons.
Donald Trump has caused a stir in the Middle East. How would you solve the Palestine crisis?
How would I solve the Palestine crisis?
I'm not sure. It's really bad out there.
Better than that? I don't know.
Might have to do some research on that one.
What's Palestine?
Oh, yeah. Remove Donald Trump.
Snow, wind, rain, Storm Caroline hit the UK. How's it affected you? And if it hasn't, can you just make something up?
Caroline, how's it affected you? Affected me.
Well, if you're in Scotland, you can't go and buy your iron brew. I think that's the problem.
I'm not quite sure. It's just blown me away, the whole story.
Hey, Andy's had a blowy. Andy's been blown off, mate.
Oh. My underwear was stolen off the washing line, and I got a man framed for being a peeping Tom, and he's now serving a life sentence. Well, turns out it was a storm.
My cat died. It did. No, it did. No, it genuinely did. Like 3 months ago, but you said make something up, so that's all I could think of.
I didn't realise this happened. Did it happen? Did it really?
What is this storm?
It didn't hit us, though.
How, I don't even know what storm. What is Storm Caroline? I don't know what it is.
Where it began. Spring became summer. Storm Caroline.
Drunk people there, canvassed for their opinions on the week's news over the weekend as we shove microphones into the faces of people falling out of pubs and clubs and bars. And I think you'll all agree, what you just heard is good reason never to try that at home. Right then, Talk Radio in the afternoons. I'm John Holmes. We're going to be talking to Tony Blackburn next about Keith Chegwin.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Delaney, live at Drive. Get the full service and parts experience with essential debate, big name guests and a truckload of topical emissions. Traffic stopping, drive time entertainment with me, Sam Delaney.
Delicious, de-groovy, de-lovely, Delaney.
Stop. Look, listen to Sam Delaney. Get involved.
This afternoon from 4.
On Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
So sad news today then that Keith Chegwin, the television presenter, has died age 60 of what we understand is a long-term lung condition. Tony Blackburn, friend of the show, Tony Blackburn is on the phone. Good afternoon, Tony.
Yeah, hello, John. Sorry, it's our agent ringing me. Actually, that's why.
Yeah, that's why we share an agent, Tony. That's absolutely
yes,
true.
We do share an agent. Yeah.
Hi, Nick.
Yeah.
Good. This is sad news, isn't it? And you know, it's sort of for me, you know, because I, as a kid, grew up watching, you know, Cheggers on Swap Shop, of course, and Cheggers Place Pop was on when he got home from school, and all of those things. It's like he's always been there.
Yes, it is. Yeah, I mean, we became great friends. We did a show together on Radio 1. We did a kids show together with him and Maggie Philbin. Yeah. And then he used to go on and off and do his television show for kids, you know, the Swap Shop and all the rest of it. But and then we travelled around a lot together doing bits of film and things for ITV, The Breakfast Show. So I got to know him really, really well. And he was just the loveliest guy you could ever wish to meet. I'm so sad that he's no longer with us.
Yeah, and it's one of those... almost one of those roles in television that I mean, television's changed a hell of a lot, of course, since those days. And now it is all, you know, a lot of the time it's reality stars, this, that and the other. But he was a kind of, he came into it very young, didn't he, when Swap Shop happened. He kind of wasn't that old.
Oh, no, he was pretty young. I don't exactly know how young he was, but he was pretty young. But, I mean, what I remember about him, he had so much energy. He was unbelievable. I mean, the Keith Chegwin you saw on screen was him in real life as well. And he was quite at times, I mean, I've got a lot of energy, but he was quite exhausting. But he was just great fun to be with. And there wasn't a nasty bone in his body. He was just the nicest person. And he was just great to everybody. And I absolutely adored him. And I'm so sad to hear the news today.
Yeah.
I mean, I spoke to him about 3 or 4 weeks ago on the phone. And, you know, he told me he'd been very unwell. but he told me he was recovering. So this is really sad news.
Yeah, and he's, also we were talking about this earlier on the show. I found him to be he was very honest and very open, wasn't he? And he had problems with alcohol, which were well documented. Yes. But he kind of approached it head on in public as well. It was a tabloid thing, as they always are. But then he was very honest and open about it and what he used to do. You know, and he talked about hiding, drinking hedges and in toilet systems and anything else. And a lot of people say that him being so honest, even back then, helped people suffering from the same thing.
I think you're right. I mean, I didn't know. I mean, when I got married, I invited him to our wedding. He turned it down. And I didn't realise that he was actually suffering from alcoholism. He didn't tell me at all. And I never realised that he had this drink problem until I read about it in the press, and then I chatted to him about it, and it was very, very bad. But he did recover from that.
Yeah.
And when we were together, you know, he never had a drink when, you know, after all this. And he'd made a full recovery.
Yeah, indeed. And in terms of, I was just, this is an interesting link here, because he was, as I say, for me, I think one of the first celebrities I saw ever being kind of honest about a problem that they'd had in public. Mm. And then we've got Ian Lee, who came third in the jungle.
Yes.
Which, of course, you were previously the king of. And he, you know, has been praised in many quarters, our very own, you know, talk radio presenter, for being honest about mental illness and stuff. And it's, you know, there's an interesting link there. And I was just going to get your take now, celebrities over. We spoke to you at the beginning when Ian went in on it, because I know you were sort of saying Toff was going to win all the way, but did you expect Ian to go quite as far as he did?
You know, I did, funnily enough. I thought that he'd probably get, last night I predicted he'd become third.
Yeah.
And but in the earliest times, I thought, I wonder if he's going to actually be able to do this, because I know Ian, as you do, and he's a very shy person, really. He's not really at home with, you know, big crowds and things like that. And he was right out of his depth, I think, in the jungle, but he suddenly turned it to his own advantage.
He did.
And he became, I mean, he's a likable guy anyway, and I think he did so well. But, and you know, amongst those, as he said himself, very macho sort of men, he's rather like me. I'm not like that either. I don't like those sort of people. But so, you know, he veered more towards the girls, which was terrific. Yeah. And he is a lovely guy. And he did so well, and I was really proud of him last night. I thought he did really well.
Yeah, indeed, we all were. Tony, listen, I'll take no more of your time. I'll hear your agent's on the other line. thanks very
our
much.
Our agent.
Yes, right. Thanks very. Can you tell him I need some more work? Can you just mention that to him when he's there? Thanks very much. Tony Blackburn there joining us, talking about Keith Chegwin, there, who sadly died at the age of 60 in the next bit of the programme. Well, more stuff. Sam Delaney as well is going to be with you at 4 o'clock for Drive, but at just after 3:30 is Toby with the very latest news.
Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. New York's mayor says a rush hour explosion at one of the city's biggest transport hubs was an attempted terrorist attack. No one was seriously injured in the blast, which happened on a platform at Port Authority Station. The suspect has been arrested. Authorities say his device was low tech. Mayor Bill de Blasio says there's no reason to believe there are any further attackers.
At this point in time, all we know of is one individual who, thank God, was unsuccessful in his aims. There are also no credible and specific threats against New York City at this time.
The TV presenter Keith Chegwin has died at the age of 60 following a long-term illness. His family say they're heartbroken after he died at home just after midnight following a battle with a progressive lung condition. The star presented children's TV shows including Cheggers Plays Pop, Multicoloured Swap Shop and Saturday Superstore. A murder investigation is underway after three children died in a suspected arson attack at a house in Salford. Their mother and a fourth child were also badly injured in the fire in Worsley just before five this morning. The lead counsel in the Grenfell Tower fire inquiry says it's important the voices of all survivors and bereaved families are heard. Speaking at a procedural hearing, Richard Millett said their evidence could help prevent a similar tragedy in future. And a gritter lorry filled with a snowplow has been called into action to help a widow get to her husband's funeral. The vehicle was needed to clear the snow near Witney in Oxfordshire after the woman couldn't get out of her street. Now your weather, rain and snow clearing southeastern areas this afternoon. Wintry showers easing for most. Severe frost tonight, lows of -6. There's more in half an hour.
There's more now.
There is, yeah, that's true.
Because it's time for Toby's roundup of animal news. Not vegetable.
No.
Not mineral.
No.
No, they're up there for other days. Consecutively, that's how it works. To cover everything off, because the bulletins aren't as long as they used to be. Animal news, vegetable news, and... Today, animal news.
From aardvarks to zebras, this is Animal News.
We've all eaten pigs in blankets, the porky deliciousness that is sausage wrapped in bacon. Mm. But this Christmas, it seems Rudolph has got a second job. Not satisfied with satiating our cravings for presents...
Can't eat Rudolph.
In 2017, he'll be satisfying empty bellies as well, as Asda starts selling deers in blankets. This new posh nosh, made with venison sausage in bacon, is described as tender and gluten-free, which is succulent and Moorish. Mm. It's not clear if Rudolph agrees with the
well,
new fad
on.
Being tender.
Yes, well, Rudolph is a reindeer.
Mm.
Venison is a deer. They're not the same thing.
I'm reading the news. This is the news.
Because I don't want to... Because now kids are going...
You don't normally question my news. Why are you questioning my news?
Well, I'm just... I'm
fact-checking it. We always fact-check everything.
I'm not sure that they're the same... Related, sure.
Mm.
But I'm not sure they're the same... I don't want anyone listening to think that the reindeers are going to be eaten before they arrive on Christmas Eve, Toby. That's all. Just want to be very clear.
Have you ever seen Rudolph?
Well, no, I've never seen him.
Do you know he's a reindeer and not just another deer? Maybe that's what separates him out.
Yeah, but they're all reindeer. They pull the sleigh. They're reindeer, famously pulling Santa's sleigh, aren't they? Not just any old
maybe Rudolph
common
is.
Or garden.
Rudolph's a special deer, isn't he? Perhaps this year he's gone
bright
red. I'm basically
bright,
venison.
Bright red. No. Would you eat a venison in blanket?
I had venison for the very first time in Germany recently, and it was very nice. So, yes, I think I would.
Yeah, no, I would as well.
You know what Sainsbury's did last year?
No.
Chorizo sausages in blanket.
Mm. What type of deer is a chorizo?
I don't know. What type of deer is
a
chorizo?
No, that wasn't a joke.
Oh,
I'm just
that's
just,
disappointing. No.
When it's a jar.
Yeah, that.
I
no,
think
get, no to get to the other side.
No idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that maybe the popularity of... Ian Lee's Rush Tucker trial last night could see the supermarkets this year for the first time doing pigs' vaginas in blankets.
Mm.
Because that is what Ant and Dec gave to Ian Lee to eat as part of the ironically termed Bush Tucker trial.
Son's blanket.
Yeah. Mm. Well, no, you could wrap that in bacon, couldn't you?
It's
pig in pig.
Mm.
Really? I suppose that is, but that's fine. You don't know, because these things appear on television, then they become popular, don't they? So
they do, yeah, like Ian Lee.
Well, probably, yeah. Yeah. Ian Lee in a blanket.
Yeah, don't eat.
He's lost a lot of weight in there. There's not a lot of him to eat anymore. So
He looks so gaunt, ironically.
Yeah. Given who he rows with. The music stopped. The music started again.
Good. Well, just bear in mind my previous story as I move on to this second one, because if there is one animal pleased that
animal
pigs
news.
Are being saved in such a way, it's the monkeys in Jaipur, India. A British tourist has discovered that they're used as a taxi service for the chimps in the city. Paulina Jawar captured the incredible find on camera as a monkey got on the back of a black-spotted pig,
yeah.
Took a ride to a nearby bin... then paid the porker for said ride with some food picked out of the trash. Proper taxi service.
That's good, that is. So the monkeys are using pig taxis?
Yeah.
Like a sort of piggy Uber?
Yes.
We were all just thinking of the pun there. Definitely a pun.
I was trying to go for Uber and ungulate. Given that that's the sort of animal a pig is.
Ungba.
And I couldn't kind of hadn't got there quick enough. Mm. Uberlet. Ungba. You're right. It's a heart. It's a tricky one, isn't it?
Mm.
Pig.
Porker.
What? Monkeeper.
No, it doesn't really.
No.
Doesn't really work, does it?
No. I mean, Uber isn't human, but is it? So I suppose we're just barking up a random tree here.
Oinking up the wrong tree.
Yeah. Oinkba.
Anyway.
Animal news.
Finally, a cat has been left mortified after discovering his cosy radiator heated bed has been hijacked by a fox. Ginger George was taking a walk in his southeast London garden one night this week, according to owner Melanie Blaze. But when he returned, Foxy had made itself cosy and was falling asleep. Furious George's hisses were not enough to scare the fox away, so Melanie had to come down and clear the kitchen, describing the fox as very tame, but definitely not my cat.
Where had the cat gone?
Animal news.
Into the garden.
Into the garden.
And when he'd gone in the garden, presumably the door was open for him to come back in, and a fox had come in instead.
Right. Mm. Well, there's no denying that that was all animal news. I'm still trying to think of a pig taxi.
Animal news.
There's got to be a pig taxi.
Ooh, babe.
Ooh, babe.
It's quite good.
That's not bad, actually.
You know.
Yeah.
Pigs in the city, that's how you get around the city. Yeah.
Although it's the monkeys that are getting around the city on the pigs, isn't it?
Yeah, but... Well.
Thanks, Toby!
Thank you!
Animal news!
Anonymous news.
Animal news!
Yes. Toby back tomorrow, of course, with vegetable. Not Toby tomorrow, shaking his head. Who's doing it tomorrow?
Hello? I'll tell you at four.
We won't be here.
I'll tell you before four.
Thank you. Claire Cottingham. A second-class return to Cottingham, please.
Have we spoken to Claire before?
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah. Claire Cottingham with us tomorrow, doing the news.
Chloe describes her as nice.
Ah, that's the same. You see, I was thinking this, because you know when people die, right? Well, they always, almost always... get described as a lovely person. That's Keith Chegwin has been today, as we've been talking to Cheryl Baker, who used to work with him. We talked to Tony Blackburn about Keith Chegwin. I've met Keith Chegwin, and he is genuinely nice. And I was thinking, whenever a person dies that is then spoken about on the media, they're always nice, aren't they, initially, right? It's always a case of just going, when it just happens like that, and people go, oh, he's lovely to work with, warm, honest, open, everything else. But then sometimes you go, no, he wasn't. Don't you? Sometimes. Max Clifford, for instance.
Oh, yeah.
You know. It was quite hard to get people to come on and say that about Max Clifford today.
but to be honest, we didn't try.
No, because we knew. But it's interesting. Mm. Anyway, so when Chloe said Claire Cottingham was nice, I just assumed she died.
Yeah, no, which she hasn't.
But luckily, we've just checked, and Claire Cottingham is fine, and will be here tomorrow doing our news for us. Right. We're going to be talking to our snow reporter next. We work in the media. It's snowing. It's common, you've probably seen it, to send reporters outside.
We've already done that.
Wait, I haven't finished the sentence. Outside into the snow to fill some time and to give everyone in the studio nice and warm a bit of a laugh at the expense of the reporter. You've seen it on the local news at night. You watch the television, don't you? Well, some poor sod is standing outside in the snow, in the bad weather, the hurricane, the snow, whatever it might be, getting cold, freezing snow all over.
This is something we've already done.
I'm the reporter standing.
We've already done this today on the show. I had to go outside.
Yes. And now you have to do it again.
Why again?
Because if you've ever heard the news and seen the news on the 24-hour news channel kind of thing, which is
I've got nothing left to say. I did all the jokes in the first one.
Neither have they, but it doesn't stop them cutting live to them again, standing in the same place, saying the same thing over and over again, even though there's no real news to report.
I haven't found my coat yet.
No, that's because they put it in a bin.
And I told him to check the bins.
No, you haven't checked the bin it's in. It's not on this floor, because I thought you'd look in the bins on this floor. So, outside, our snow reporter Cornelius, talking to us live from the weather, outside, next, on Talk Radio, in the afternoons.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Talk Radio. For those about to talk, we salute you.
Could your business benefit from cloud accounting? Sage Business Cloud. Get paid faster by issuing invoices on the move. Complete your VAT return in seconds. And link your bank account for a real-time picture of your business finances. See how Sage Business Cloud can benefit your business with a free 30-day trial of Sage Accounting. Visit sage.co.uk/free trial. Sage Business Cloud. Helping you manage everything from money to people. Be Sage. Build on.
As a business owner, you can't waste money on anything, particularly hiring. That's why we built Indeed.com differently. No upfront fees, no long-term contracts, so you can start, pause, and stop at any time. Post your next job on Indeed, the UK's number one job site. For a limited time, we're giving new users a £50 credit to post a sponsored job. Claim your £50 credit at Indeed.com/redeem. That's Indeed.com/redeem. Terms, conditions and quality standards apply. The UK's number one job site, according to Comscore.
Time to slow down? Or not just yet? How about now? Now? Perhaps you'd start slowing down now. When it rains, it kills.
Last year, 2,987 people were killed or seriously injured when driving in the rain. When it's time for your wipers, it's time to slow down. Highways England.
We've got it at Selco. Selco, it's where the train goes.
The festive season has started at Selco Builders Warehouse, and we're celebrating with Selco's 12 deals of Christmas. Like a SlimFix 6-piece electric screwdriver set for just $19.99 or a Unilight LED compact headlight for only $7.99. Now that's a Christmas cracker. Don't miss Selco's 12 deals of Christmas. Only available until the 15th of December. Prices exclude VAT. Find out more at selcobw.com.
We've got it at Selco. Selco, it's where the train goes.
Talk Radio, traffic and travel.
Well, in the West Midlands, we have one lane closed and heavy traffic due to a broken down vehicle on the M6. That's northbound between Junction 10 for Wolverhampton and Junction 10A. Elsewhere in Gloucestershire, we have one lane closed due to strong winds on the M48 Severn Bridge. That's affecting both directions between Junction 1 and Junction 2 for Chepstow. And in Bristol, one lane closed due to a lorry having its tyre changed on the M4. That's eastbound between Junction 19 and Junction 18 for Bath, and traffic is coping well. I'm Sammy Jolo.
Okay, what's this one here? To Uncle Gary, Merry Xmas, love, Polly. Kiss, kiss. Bit overwrapped, that's fine.
Oh, wow! These trainers are meant to be sold out everywhere. How did she even get hold of these?
Surprise them with something thoughtful this Christmas. Check eBay now for great prices on great brands. From the sharpest fashion to the techiest tech, eBay. Fill your cart with colour.
The Paul Ross Full Set Breakfast, tomorrow morning from 6 on Talk Radio.
It is the very model of the Paul Ross Full Set Breakfast Show from 6 a.m. 5 days a week with everything you need to know. With sports and news and film reviews and showbiz goss and attitude. It is the very model of a Paul Ross Full Set Breakfast Show.
Start your day with the morning boss, the legend that is me, Paul Ross. It is the very model of a modern full set breakfast show.
Fast talking breakfast radio that always hits the right note. The Paul Ross Full Set Breakfast, tomorrow morning from 6 on Talk Radio.
John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
So, good afternoon. You are listening to Talk Radio. I am John Holmes, and Sam Delaney will be along shortly to tell us what's coming up on the gram he calls Pro. Drive time between 4 and 7 o'clock here on Talk Radio, and there's a lot going on today, of course. Well, much going on. We know there has been an attack in New York. Now, fortunately, there are no injuries. Apart from, we think, the perpetrator. We know it's a terror attack, that's what they're saying, but we have indications that the pipe bomb that was meant for the attack went off a bit early, injuring the man who was trying to plant the bomb, rather than, fortunately, injuring many people around and about. That's a breaking news story. Anyway, we're keeping you up to date with it, as you'd expect us to be doing. There's a lot of snow out there. We're going to be talking to our snow reporter in just a moment, so that's going on. And also the TV presenter Keith Chegwin has sadly died aged 60. The news is all very complicated, isn't it?
Oh, I can't get my head around it.
Are you outside?
Yes.
Is it cold?
Yes. Yes. I'm really just trying not to swear.
Stay there for a while longer, because we've got to explain...
Play the haiku!
Some of the news before we come to you live.
I know, play the haiku.
Outside where
Cornelius... You just did the whole lead up to it, just play it.
Outside, Cornelius is waiting there in the cold without his coat, because I got producer Dave to put it in a bin on a different floor, and now Cornelius couldn't find it, and he's outside waiting to report on the snow for us. Cornelius out there in the cold.
Yeah, hurry up.
Outside.
Play, Chloe, play the haiku, otherwise you're fired. It's Black Ice Monday. I can't help wonder who the F comes up with this crap.
The news in haikus. Now, Cornelius is waiting to talk to us outside in the snow, in common with reporters and what they have to do. So we're going to make him stand out there in the cold a little while longer, because that seems like definitely the right thing to do. And the reason is a good reason, because Christopher Biggins is joining us on the line. Good afternoon, Christopher.
Hi, how are you?
Very well, thank you. Thank you so much for joining us on this. We've been talking about Keith Chegwin this afternoon, of course. Terribly sad news. And as I've been saying, one of those people who seems to have been doing what Keith Chegwin does so well for a hell of a long time now. It's like he's always been there.
Absolutely. And I was shocked to find that he was only 60. I mean, 60 is no age at all. And I had no idea that he was ill, but apparently he had cancer, I believe. Is that
they're saying long-term battle with progressive lung condition. That is the official line at the moment.
Yes. Well, he was just the nicest man in show business. He was a joy to know. He was a joy to watch. He was always up for doing anything, even the nude quiz program that he did.
Yes.
Which, of course, was hysterical, and we all thought, oh, no, oh, don't do it. But, of course, it was wonderful, and he was innovative. He was there ahead of everybody else, and he was very, very special. I think he's was the most amazing man that I was privileged to have met.
It is interesting you mentioned that being ahead of his time with the nude quiz, because that was a Channel 5 programme, Naked Jungle, I think it was called, and it was right at the time, it was sort of roundly criticised and sort of began, this is the very depth that television has plumbed and all this kind of stuff, and he came under a lot of criticism for it. But when you look at what we have now and what's happened since, including, you know, Naked Attraction on Channel 4 and all this stuff, he simply was seeing what was coming, wasn't he?
I know, and it was nothing good a comparison today. I mean, you know, he would have been a huge star today if he was doing it. But listen, he had a go, and he was always there. He was wonderful in everything that he did. He was such fun. He was a wonderful person. It's a tragedy, a real tragedy.
And in terms of your memories of him, because we had Tony Blackburn on just now talking about him in equally warm terms. And you know, when I was growing up, Swap Shop was the Saturday morning. It was Swap Shop or Tiz was, and you know, you flick between the two or whatever. And Cheggers Place Pop, of course. You came home from school, and there he was with all the pop bands of the time. Cheryl Baker was on with us talking about when she used to appear on that earlier on the show. And you know, that's sort of my generation's memory of him, but he seemed to almost come out of nowhere fully formed as a presenter.
You're absolutely right. But more than what he did on television, when you met him as a person, he was so nice. And I tell you why he was so nice. He wasn't egotistical at all. He was always interested in what you were doing and what was going on in your career. And then as an afterthought, you know, he would say, oh, by the way, I'm doing this. He was very, very a very special person. He was loved by so many people, even when he took all his clothes off.
And we were talking about, as well, about how honest he was, given the problems, well-documented problems he had with alcohol. And when that got into the papers, he hit it head on, and he came out and he talked about it and admitted it, and used to talk about what he used to do and what the process was. And at the time, I think that was kind of rare for a celebrity, if we use that word, to just be so open and honest about a problem that they had.
It was, and it was a big problem, and it was something that he met head on. And he didn't, you know, like a lot of people, hide it. He came forward, and I think in doing that, it helped a lot of other people with the same problem. And goodness knows, it's a big problem, and a lot of people, especially in our business, suffer from it.
Yeah. Christopher, look, I won't take up any more of your time. It's really good to have you on, and thank you for...
It's good, and I'm sure his sister, I've sent my love to her, and all his family will be devastated.
Indeed. Keith Chegwin, who has sadly died aged 60, a man who might soon have cold is our reporter Cornelius, who's outside for Talk Radio this afternoon. Hi, Cornelius.
Hi, John.
I just thought we'd take Christopher Biggins there instead of going to you out there.
Yeah, I heard. I mean, that's fair play, but I could, you know.
Yeah, cold, aren't you?
It's really cold.
Yeah. So listen.
Especially without a coat.
I know, it's in the
I'll bin. Be honest, John. Yep. You know, there's a school opposite.
Yes.
It's now past 3 o'clock, and the children are out, and they have snowballs in their hand and have been waiting for me to go on air for quite a while.
Excellent. I look forward.
Now, I don't know if they are planning anything, but they have been staring and smirking at me, and I'm very nervous. I've turned away from them.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to keep as sort of low-key as possible.
Good. Could you just turn back to them and shout, you're all...
No, I'm not.
You're all big...
No.
You're all big ninnies.
Ninnies? No.
Yeah, okay, fine. Anyway, look, in keeping with media and snow reports, we've sent our reporter Cornelius outside for the second time. He's got nothing to add to the report he filed last time, but let's make him do it anyway, because that's what they do on the actual news. Cornelius, what can you tell us about the weather? I've just looked out the window and children are throwing snowballs at Cornelius.
Excellent. I'm running away now. It's pathetic. Right, I might go into the pub. They can't go in there.
What can you tell us about the weather, Cornelius?
Right. John, it's really cold out
yeah,
here.
Yeah.
There has been an absolute ice tsunami or a snow-nado.
Yeah. Snow, a frostageddon.
Yeah, a frostageddon.
Yeah.
A Sleep the Nightly Show.
Yeah, that's it. That'll do. A Sleep the Nightly Show. Very good.
Mm.
And it's they're coming after you. The children are coming after you now, aren't they?
Yeah, I know. They're sort of following me. The good thing is most of the snow is melted, so I have to retreat to this one car that still has some on its roof.
Right, good.
But I think I'm hidden around the corner. This is pathetic. I'm 25 years old.
Yeah. Anyway, so you're out there for the radio, Cornelius.
Yeah, finished yet?
No, not yet. You're still on there. Tell us about fill the time like they do on the actual news. Cornelius is out there telling us about the weather. What can you see?
I could see earlier Martin Roberts on the stairs of the building.
Yeah.
I don't know why he's here, maybe for the Christmas party. Last time I saw him was at the Christmas party last year.
Yeah.
When he'd lost a lot of weight because of all the jungle.
Yeah. That's not really the weather you're reporting on there, is it? Not really keeping us up to...
I think he's had a good year, just say that.
So what's the weather, Cornelius? Come on, it's important, Cornelius, the snow and the weather.
It's not snowing, John. It's all melted. It's just really cold. It's not snowing here.
Okay, could you wait out there a while longer just to see what happens?
No, why would I do that?
Because. That's Cornelius there outside, because we might need to come to you in an emergency. Cornelius outside. Sam, you'd like Cornelius to stay there throughout your show as well, just to be able to cut to him.
That's all right, because we do need constant updates, probably throughout the schedule. I'm sure Mike Graham will feel the same, Con. So just stay out.
Yeah.
No way.
Did your mum give you the mittens with the elastic on them today to stop you from losing them? Because she does get annoyed at you losing so many pairs of your mittens.
That's really funny. Oh, well, hang on.
The kids are throwing snowballs at him. It's quite funny.
He's getting beaten up by children.
Right, let's leave him to it. Right. Sam Delaney with you next, of course, for Drive. Sam, what have you got coming on?
Well, obviously, we'll be bringing you the latest on this attempted terror attack in New York.
Yeah.
Details of that coming through, and we'll bring them to you as we get them. The Grenfell Tower inquiry restarts today in earnest. We'll be bringing you the latest from there. And, of course, paying tribute to Keith Chegwin. What sad news that is. Someone who I'm sure loomed large over your childhood, just like mine.
Very
John.
Much, Sam. We're of a similar age. I was just saying how I watched his was, but Casey, you put it over to Swap Shop, didn't you? And there he was. And get home from school. What's on Cheggers Place Pot?
Cheggers Place Pot. And he also lasted beyond Swap Shop and went smoothly into Saturday Superstore, I believe, for a while
as well. Saturday Superstore, and then of course the big breakfast.
He had staying power, Cheggers, didn't he, in his career? And it's a real loss to entertainment. So we'll be talking a bit about that and more besides.
OK, that's about it from us. We'll be back tomorrow, 1 till 4 in the afternoon. And we'll leave you with some memories of Keith Chegwin.
Who loves Family Fortunes?
Yay!
Who likes EastEnders?
Yay!
Who remembers Keith Chegwin? Yeah.
I went to the doctors. I said, I've got a strawberry growing out my arse. He said, I'll put some cream on that.
I don't get it.
Behind this very door, with a bit of luck, we have Steve Coogan. Hello, Keith Chegwin, Steve Coogan. It's the big breakfast on Channel 4, are you in?
I do this little scene with my finger, and this being an orifice, and keep poking like this. And I can't tell it, I was sweating buckets. A woman.
is madness. I would defy anyone to sit there.
You feel like you've known him forever, even though you've only just met him. So that was a quality that Keith had that a lot of people would love to have.
I saw a guy the other day, the banana and a strawberry in one ear. It was a triteful death.
What?
Nothing.
I mean, he had so much energy. He was unbelievable. I mean, the Keith Chegwin you saw on screen was him in real life. He was just the loveliest guy you could ever wish to meet. I'm so sad that he's no longer with us.
My granddad came home from the war with one arm. We still don't know whose it was.
Did he?
He was just a really lovely, happy, positive person, you know, who, you know, you knew that if you were in his company, you were going to have a great time. I'll never fall.
Radio. Talk and entertainment across the nation.
Talk Radio.
Give it some lip.